And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Iraq's combination of weapons of mass destruction and ties to terrorist groups and ballistic missiles would threaten the peace and security of many nations.
We know the Syrian government has the capacity to carry out chemical weapon attacks.
Chaos in that region would be felt in Europe and beyond.
The Assad regime must understand that they will be held accountable for the use of chemical weapons or their transfer to terrorists.
The time has arrived once again for free nations to face up to our global responsibilities.
Iran's leaders must understand, however, that they have to meet their international obligations. And meanwhile, the international community will continue to increase the pressure on the Iranian government.
Those who choose to live in denial may eventually be forced to live in fear.
I have made clear that the use of chemical weapons is a game changer. All options are on the table. We will do what is necessary to prevent Iran from getting the world's worst weapons.
Ladies and gentlemen, what I just did for you with the help of my brilliant staff on the Savage Nation has never been done in radio history. We're giving you the best radio possible today. I found for you from 2002 George W. Bush's fraudulent speech on weapons of mass destruction. And then I played for you today Obama's speech on chemical weapons in Syria. What is eerie, what is very eerie, is that the language, while slightly different, says the exact same thing. I hear the war drums beating. I think the very people who got us into Iraq are about to get us into Syria, or worse yet, into Iran. And I ask you today, is Obama in Israel to lay the groundwork for a new war in the Middle East? I mean, here is why I fear so. We played the clips for you. You heard it. I personally believe that striking Iran by Israel alone, let's say Israel did this alone. I don't know whether Obama said, we're going to do it with you, you're going to do it alone, and we'll support you. But I'm telling you, these are war drums. The economy is floundering, and the tried and true cure for a weak economy is war. After all, the contractors have been starving for billions of dollars in new accounts ever since, more or less, we've left Iraq. There are still men in Iraq, yes, but the amount of money that was stolen from the American taxpayer has dried up. And so the military-industrial complex, I fear, I said, I don't know. I have no friends in government. I have no friends in the media. I'm a man alone looking from the outside in, and it looks to me like they're getting ready to go to war. And I ask you, do you think Obama, I almost said Bush, I mean, because Obama is part, is Bush laying the groundwork for a new war in the Middle East? Do you think Bush and Obama are the same? Do you believe that they're just Hydra heads of the same people who control the country? Because when I hear chemical weapons, and first I heard weapons of mass destruction from Bush in 04. There were none. Now I hear chemical weapons, and we don't know who actually used them or if they were used. And I've seen this used before as a pretext for going to war. It was used before. It's being used now, in my estimation, and it would be a disaster. The biggest disaster here would be for Israel to go it alone. Because remember what's going on. Right now, Iran is the, I wouldn't say the bad boy. I would say Iran is the, well, they're a terror nation. And Arab nations are afraid of Iran. The Arab nations that are rather moderate are afraid that Iran's revolution will be exported to their nations. And we all know that there are varieties of Americans. There are varieties of Frenchmen. There are varieties of Israelis, and there are certainly varieties of Iranians, and there are a variety of Arabs, of course. And there are moderate Arabs, there are secular Arabs, there are fundamentalist Arabs, and of course Iran has the most fanatic of all of them in the form of the crazed mullahs. And most Arab countries are afraid of these mullahs because they fear that if they export their revolution to their country, they'll overthrow the heads of those states. The worst thing that could be done right now would be for Israel to jump in the middle of it all, because right now Arab countries are already leery of Iran. They don't like Iran. The Arab nations are all at each other's throat. They don't want to be radicalized by and large. So if Israel were to bomb Iran, what would happen is Iran would suddenly become the victim of the West. And that would be the worst possible thing we could do. Who is advising Obama? I have no idea. Is it the same group of neocons who advised Bush and led to that disaster in Iraq? I don't know. This is all secretive. We have no press corps left. At least during Bush, we had a very animated press corps because they are liberal psychotics who hated Bush because he was a Republican and a real American. And so at least we had them on his tail. Right now, we have no press. The press died in America quite a while ago, probably along the first year, within the first year of Obama and his regime, the press died. I mean, you don't have to look any further than anyone who criticizes Obama in the media doesn't last very long. Even NBC, look what they just did to Jay Leno. I don't watch the guy. He's just a comedian. But he was mildly critical of Obama, and they're getting rid of him. They have no room and no tolerance for anyone who doesn't follow the party line. So I'm asking you. You heard the sound bites, and you see what I'm doing, and I'm asking you, do you think that Obama is in Israel to lay the groundwork for a new war in the Middle East? I don't know if you know what happened, but if you believe in symbolism, Obama's bulletproof limousine was a Nova, a no-go. It arrived in Israel, and it was a Nova, a no-go, because some moron in Washington, D.C., put the wrong fuel in the tank. Now, what does that tell you about a presidency that can't even put the right fuel in its own car? I'm asking you a question. What does it tell you about a bunch of people in Washington, D.C., hired by this administration, who are so incompetent that they don't even know what gas to put in their president's car? You say, well, it's a minor thing. It could happen to anyone, but he's not anyone. He is not anyone. He's supposed to be the leader of the free world. He can't even have his bulletproof limousine fueled properly. This is frightening to me. It shows you that the administration is running purely on propaganda day and night, supported at every turn, no matter what mistake they make, by the sycophants, by the stenographers, whatever you want to call them in the media. But I want to go back to the biggest point, which is the war. I played you Bush. In fact, I'd like you to play clip 5 again for the people who just straggled into the big tent of the savage nation. Start 05.
Iraq gains even greater destructive power. Nations in the Middle East would face blackmail, intimidation, or attack. Chaos in that region would be felt in Europe and beyond. And Iraq's combination of weapons of mass destruction and ties to terrorist groups and ballistic missiles would threaten the peace and security of many nations. Those who choose to live in denial may eventually be forced to live in fear.
Okay, so if you missed the point, he talked about weapons of mass destruction, which were not there. That was the pretext for the Iraq invasion. Now we have Obama in Israel with his car not running, wrong fuel, apparently the wrong message as well. But whoever writes these things, and it gives me chills to believe that there are secret hands running this country, and it doesn't matter who's in power, they're the ones calling the shots. Because the speeches are eerily similar. I may be the first to notice this. I will not be the last. I can guarantee you this will be played tomorrow on other shows, whether it be indirectly or directly. Nobody will quote me because I don't exist. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that I exist for you. I'm too far along in my career, too late in my own life to care. I am telling you that what I have stumbled on here, the 04 speech of Bush on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction as a pretext for attacking Iraq, and Obama's talk about chemical weapons is eerie. It's frightening, and I think they're going to go to war. And I ask you to listen to clip 7.
I have made clear that the use of chemical weapons is a game changer. And I won't make an announcement today about next steps because I think we have to gather the facts. But I do think that when you start seeing weapons and you let that genie out of the bottle, then you are looking potentially at even more horrific scenes than we've already seen in Syria. And the international community has to act on that additional information. The Assad regime must understand that they will be held accountable for the use of chemical weapons or their transfer to terrorists.
Now, first of all, we don't know if chemical weapons have been used in Syria. Let's assume that they have been used. It's kind of a little foggy right now. But to this minute, there's confusion as to which side used the chemical weapons, whether it was the terrorist regime itself of Assad or the Islamists called the rebels, who the media is in love with. Anyone who claims to be a rebel who wears a rag around their head is considered wild and crazy. They're sort of the Marlon Brando of the terrorist world to the psychos in the American media. We don't know who used these weapons or if they were used at all. So I think that the economy being weak and the contractors being hungry for more money, they're getting us ready for another war. It's the military-industrial complex. Do you agree or disagree with Michael Savage? Do you think Obama's laying the groundwork for a new war in the Middle East? It's a simple question. There are other big questions today. There's nothing bigger than this. War is horrible. War is hell. And if they're getting us ready for another war, it's the worst possible thing that could be happening to this country right now, in my opinion. What's your opinion? It counts. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, it's that time again. Once a year, every year for the last decade, I sit down with author and Swiss America chairman Craig Smith, my friend, to discuss the true state of the U.S. economy and what to expect ahead. Craig and I have been right on the money every year like clockwork. This year, Craig turned up the burner and has boiled down the most critical news and financial trends into the simple truth. Swiss America is offering this confidential interview we recorded. It's free. Free to my listeners on compact disc or downloadable MP3 by simply calling 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN for free. Today, our great nation hangs in the balance. We're on the verge of becoming a perpetual welfare state. Call now for your free copy of the Savage Simple Truth CD and Craig's 31st anniversary newsletter, both free. No one hearing my voice now will be able to say we did not warn you. So call 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN right now for the Savage Simple Truth. Call 800-289-2646. Be prepared.
Get the stinky dog away from me.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Mounds and mounds of fur.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Chew himself raw. Sticky, gooey, smelly.
She scratched incessantly.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
I heard about Dynavite on this radio station.
I just called my wife. I said, dear, you got to check out Dynavite.
I logged on to DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil.
The digestive enzyme. That are cooked out of regular dog food.
6 days later, my dog's ear problems were cured.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
His breath was better. His gas was better.
Tons of energy. No more bad smell.
She has gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheen.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
My vet was completely blown away.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Okay, as about traffic, still big delays trying to get out of San Francisco. Earlier problem on the lower deck has been cleared now. Traffic still backed up northbound 101 from 280 onto the lower deck. Northbound 280 backed up towards San Jose Avenue. Northbound 101 also slow getting past San Francisco Airport from about Millbrae Avenue to Oyster Point. 380 is slow up to 280, and northbound 280 slow before 380 as you head up towards Westboro. South Bay, southbound 880 slow and go from about Montague Expressway down to Coleman. I'm Dave Fowkes, KSFO.
Most of the time, it's simple. I run my business, pay the bills, get on with my life. But when tax time sneaks up on me, questions start coming in the middle of the night. What else should I be doing about deductions and expenses? How can I tell what kind of shape my business is really in? And why does it feel like every year at tax time, I have to start the process from scratch? It doesn't make sense. I wish I knew someone who could really understand my financial situation. Someone I could trust, who will care as much about my business as I do and be there all year round. Maybe then I could get that good night's sleep.
A CPA spends years preparing for moments just like these. When the right tax and financial advice is essential, talk to someone with an unmatched level of knowledge, experience, and education. Talk to a CPA. Visit 360taxes.org for information and to find a CPA in your area. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs Private Companies Practice Section.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell?
Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
Shaquille O'Neal for new Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. New Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has two maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now. Advance past pain and get on with living.
New Icy Hot Advanced. Available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
Sean Hannity.
And Barack Obama, how's he going to pay for it? He's going to, quote, tax the wealthy. He's going to destroy the economy is what he's going to do.
Weekdays from noon till 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
So I fear that Obama's in Israel basically setting up the pretext to go to war, whether it be against Syria or Iran or both. And what gives me this eerie feeling is that I played few sound from 02 of George Bush telling us about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, et cetera, and that was the pretext for war, and I see the same thing happening now. It's also interesting to me that the president who didn't support Israel at all prior to the election is now going over there saying we're giving you 10 years of basically a bailout, another 10-year bailout. And number two, we've got your back. Why is he suddenly in love with Israel? The election's over, so what is he doing this for? There's another story on my website that I'm almost reluctant to tell you about. If you're an animal lover, as I am, go to the website, michaelsavage.com, and you're going to see a story that will bring a strong man to his knees and make him weep. Poachers in Chad slaughter 86 elephants, cut out the ivory. As you know, this is a big campaign of mine. Poachers in Chad slaughtered 86 elephants, including 33 pregnant females, in less than a week and hacked out their ivory while they were alive. They shot them and cut the ivory out while they were begging for their lives on the ground. It's the worst killing spree of elephants since early 2012 from these poachers. Now, I have worked with the International Fund for Animal Welfare for a while. I've just given them a modest grant to hire ex-military guys to go kill these poachers. It's not working. The people who are responsible for this are in China because they are the ivory-consuming nations. As you know, China has not made any effort to reduce the demand for ivory in China. If we don't force China to stop this insanity, if we don't force China in the UN to stop it, the battle to save elephants will be lost in your lifetime because you did nothing. How can you speak up for elephants? Can you sign an elephant petition? Can you send some money to the International Fund for Animal Welfare? I don't know what you can do. Please look at my website. It's a pretty ugly picture up there. I don't know if you have the stomach to see an animal on the ground with its guts cut out, with its ivory slashed out of its head. On top of it is another animal story. U.S. companies are seeking final approval to start slaughtering horses for food in the United States of America. It seems to me the world is melting down into a decadence that I've never seen in my lifetime. There seems to be no care for anything. Maybe I'm overgeneralizing. What do you think? How do you feel about China not stopping in to stop the elephant slaughter? They won't stop the trade. How do you feel about Bush and Obama sounding eerily similar about a pretext for war? WABC Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call.
All right, please, let's stop right here. I don't want anyone saying thank you for taking my call. Nobody ever has to say it. Don't say it's an honor. I am not one of these tin pot talk show hosts who need that. What's on your mind?
It is about the similarity between the statements by Obama and Bush about the two wars. I think that I want to disagree with you on this point because I think that, well, it's true that they were both similar and that they both didn't want to go to war, but but are still thinking about it. I think the difference is that Bush didn't want to go to war, but he was more focused on what the country really needed, as opposed to Obama, who's more focused on what's better for him, which is obviously not to go to war.
You make no sense. What do you mean not to go to war? You say that the speeches sound the same, and they both sound like they're a pretext for war. So you're saying Obama is not going to go to war? He's just giving a speech about it?
I think that he's...
All right, thanks for the call. When you graduate junior high school, give me a call again. 855-400-7282. I don't know what this kid was doing. It looks like he was... Well, let's let it go with that. Billy, we'll try another WABC caller. Billy on line 6, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Don't answer those questions. Thanks for the call. I hang up. Anyone who asks me how I am, anyone who says it's an honor, gets hung up on. Even if you love me, even if you bought all of my books, even if you sent me a pair of pants, a shirt, a haircut, a beard trim, and sent a free shampoo coupon for my dog, I'll hang up on you. I don't have the patience. Maybe I'm getting too old for this. How many years have I been on the radio where I don't answer questions like, how are you? Do you think this is Breaker One Radio? What do you think this is? Now, either my call screen is asleep and the board operator's... I'm gonna break something right now. If one more caller isn't prepared, if one more caller asks me how I am, I'm going to go to a pre-made show. That's how angry I am right now. Here's the last chance for a good caller. Line 1, Richard, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I hope you're 100% wrong, because Americans don't have the will, stomach, or the money for another war. We're tired.
But, Ara, I agree with you. But why is Bush and Obama, why do they sound the same?
Why? Well, I can't explain that.
Okay, then let's put it another way. Do they sound the same?
Oh, yes, I agree with you when it comes to that. I agree.
All right, so that's why I, a mere talk show host, found the 2002 speech by Bush where he talked about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, and there were none. And now we have Obama in Israel today saying there's chemical weapons, and he's going to do something about it. It's frightening. The American people are asleep like dunces on drugs.
Savage.
Hi, this is Dick Morris. Obamacare is taking full effect this year with over 15,000 pages of regulations. You need to know how this law affects you. That's why you should get your copy of Obamacare Survival Guide. It's easy to read and the best guide to the new law. Even if you're currently insured or a senior on Medicare or a business owner, a medical profession, or really any citizen, you need the Obamacare Survival Guide. In it, you'll find about hidden taxes, fees, and fines, including a 40% tax on some health plans. I warned you about Obamacare, its rationing, Medicare cuts, and will trigger doctor shortages. Now the Obamacare Survival Guide gives you the simple steps to protect your family. So get the Obamacare Survival Guide at bookstores everywhere. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Or get our special $4.95 offer and save $15 today by going to Obamacare911.com. Obamacare911.com. That's Obamacare911.
Good afternoon, I'm Dave Fowkes, Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Prosecutors have dropped charges against a man accused of killing an elderly newspaper vendor in San Francisco. They say they want more time to review the evidence and see if more witnesses will come forward. School officials say a San Jose student hit and killed by a train was a super musical and everybody's friend. Grief counselors were on campus today to help fellow students deal with his loss. Taking a look at the roadways, big problems now developing southbound 101 in Mountain View just before Rangstorff crash. Overturned car, injuries involved in this accident. It's got the right lane blocked. Traffic is just starting to back up. Northbound 101 slow out of Redwood City from Woodside Road in stretches through Belmont. Have an accident being reported southbound 280 at Winchester Boulevard. That's off to the right side. An accident eastbound 580 at Edwards in Oakland also moved to the right shoulder. Slow traffic still on Highway 24 because of earlier problems eastbound. Slow from 580 to the Caldecott. I'm Dave Fowkes, KSFO.
If you're like most people who are very successful, you take pride in your personal appearance, right? That includes a thinning hairline. If you are experiencing hair loss, my recommendation is to call Dr. Tom Rosanelli. He has over 25 years of experience in hair restoration and has performed hair restoration procedures on thousands of patients. That includes some well-known celebrities. I've seen Dr. Rosanelli's excellent work. It's obvious why people with hair loss choose Dr. Rosanelli. They now have a natural head of hair and even look younger. Dr. Rosanelli specializes in hair restoration. He meets with every patient for a free consultation, and he performs all hair restoration procedures himself. And Dr. Rosanelli is also part of the Savage Nation. If your hair is thinning, call 800-743-HAIR. It's simple. That's 800-743-4247, or visit Rosanelli.com. Dr. Rosanelli has offices in San Francisco, San Jose, and Walnut Creek.
Now through March 31st, receive 300 free grafts as part of your procedure as a new patient. Call 800-743-HAIR. Certain restrictions apply. Offer expires 3/31/13.
There's a lot to know about replacement windows. On the phone today, we have Matt Miller from Renewal by Anderson Replacement Windows. Matt, what's the difference between your window material and vinyl?
Katie, if you want the best energy efficiency, poor quality vinyl is really not a good choice. Those thick white plastic windows kill the character of your home, both inside and out. Our windows are custom built from patented material that we call Fibrex, which is actually twice as strong as vinyl. It's that strength that keeps the weather out and keeps your home comfortable year-round.
Everyone knows the name Anderson. So what's the link between Anderson Windows and Renewal by Anderson?
Renewal by Anderson is the replacement window division of Anderson. We're the company that takes care of the entire process. We build it, we sell it, we install it, and we warrant the windows. You deal with one company, so because there's no middleman, if anything goes wrong and you're not satisfied, we'll take care of it.
Now, what about the special that Renewal by Anderson has going on right now?
Right now, this spring, if you buy just five windows, your sixth window is actually free. And you can pair that with no money down, no payments, and no interest for a full year. It's like getting your windows for free now and not paying for them until 2014.
Great. Thanks, Matt. For a limited time with Renewal by Anderson, buy just five windows and your sixth window is free with no money down, no payments, and no interest for a year. For more information, call 1-800-417-1010. 1-800-417-1010. That's 1-800-417-1010. Or visit goodwindowpayment.com.
Your favorite station now travels with you thanks to iHeartRadio. That's the free app that plays this station and over 1,500 of the best stations across the country. Download it free on your mobile device, iPhone, iPad, Android, and more. Then your favorite station is right there, ready to play with artist and title displayed. Even let us know what you think of the song. All from your mobile device. Download iHeartRadio free at the App Store or get started at iHeartRadio.com.
Coming up on the next morning show, we'll talk to a representative from the World Wildlife Fund about the Earth Hour, 5 to 9 a.m. on KSFO.
Welcome back to Savage Nation. Look, in talk radio, there's a thing called AQH, Average Quarter Hour. That's when audiences generally come and go. In my show, it's different because I have a very long TSL time spent listening, probably the longest in the history of radio. Some people stay tuned for the whole show, some an hour and a half. Nevertheless, I would assume that at this point in the show, 30 minutes after the beginning, most of you who are listening did not hear what I did at the beginning. I'm going to play for you George W. Bush's October 16, 2002 speech on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, which it turns out were not there, and which was a pretext for war. And then I'm going to play Obama's speech of today, which is eerily similar. Nobody in radio has done for you what you're about to hear. Listen.
Iraq's combination of weapons of mass destruction and ties to terrorist groups and ballistic missiles would threaten the peace and security of many nations.
We know the Syrian government has the capacity to carry out chemical weapon attacks.
Chaos in that region would be felt in Europe and beyond.
The Assad regime must understand that they will be held accountable for the use of chemical weapons or their transfer to terrorists.
The time has arrived once again for free nations to face up to our global responsibilities.
Iran's leaders must understand, however, that they have to meet their international obligations. And meanwhile, the international community will continue to increase the pressure on the Iranian government.
Those who choose to live in denial may eventually be forced to live in fear.
I have made clear that the use of chemical weapons is a game changer. All options are on the table. We will do what is necessary to prevent Iran from getting the world's worst weapons.
It makes me sick to listen to this, and it makes me even sicker to have been given the brains to hear it and put two and two together 10 years later. Is anyone else in the media doing this for you? You're hearing Republican good, Democrat bad. Republican good, Democrat bad. How much can you listen to it? Do you see what's really going on in front of your eyes? Do you actually see it? Do you hear it? Well, that's my job. I'm supposed to see it and hear it for you. I will tell you this. As a kid who grew up in a good place and a bad place, and I met some mean people in my childhood, I found out that bullies usually have a pretext before they attack a little guy. Before a bully punches somebody in the nose who doesn't deserve it or is smaller than them, they come up with a fake excuse such as, oh, you did this to me. The kid says, what? And he gets punched right in the nose. I saw it every time this government acted like a bully. They set that up. I'll go back to Bill Clinton, a bully. Bill Clinton, under Janet, it was a Janet Reno, whatever her name was. Do you remember what she did? They said that David Koresh was raping young girls. There was no rape. They used that as a pretext to kill everybody at Waco, Texas. There was no rape. Every time a bully gets ready to attack, they make up a story. I have an article that I have to read you. It's two paragraphs. It's called The Russians Think We're Wrecking the World on Purpose. It's by a man I've respected for years named David Goldman. He used to be known as Spengler. He was anonymous for many years, and then he came out from behind the curtain. And Goldman writes the most brilliant analysis I've ever seen in my life. It's short. The Russians think we're wrecking the world on purpose. He writes this. In Russia, most analysts, politicians, and ordinary citizens believe in the unlimited might of America and thus reject the notion that the U.S. has made and continues to make mistakes in the Middle East. Instead, they assume it's all a part of a complex plan to restructure the world and to spread global domination, close quote, says Fyodor Lukyanov on the Al-Monitor website today. Lukyanov, who chairs Russia's Council on Foreign and Defense Policy, laments what he derides as a conspiracy theory. Nonetheless, he reports President Vladimir Putin and the Russian elite think that the United States is spreading chaos as part of a diabolical plot for world domination. Listen carefully to the rest of this. From Russian leadership's point of view, the Iraq war now looks like the beginning of the accelerated destruction of regional and global stability, undermining the last principles of sustainable world order. Everything that's happened since, including flirting with Islamists, did you catch that? That's your friend Hillary Clinton flirting with Islamists during the Arab Spring. U.S. policies in Libya and its current policies in Syria serve as evidence of strategic insanity that has taken over the last remaining superpower. Emphasis on strategic insanity. I'll go on. Russia's persistence on the Syrian issue is the product of this perception. The issue is not sympathy for Syria's dictator, nor commercial interests, nor naval bases in Tartus. Moscow is certain that if continued crushing of secular authoritarian regimes is allowed, because America and the West support democracy, it will lead to such destabilization that will overwhelm all, including Russia. It's therefore necessary for Russia to resist, especially as the West and the United States themselves experience increasing doubts. There's more in the little article. Well, I'll finish it. It's instructive to view ourselves through a Russian mirror. The term paranoid Russian is a pleonasm. Quote, the fact is that all Russian politicians are clever. The stupid ones are dead. By contrast, America, in its complacency, promotes dullards. A deadly miscommunication arises from this asymmetry. The Russians cannot believe that the Americans are as stupid as they look and conclude that Washington wants to destroy them. He wrote in 2008 under the title, quote, Americans play Monopoly, Russians chess. Russians have dominated chess most of the past century for good reason. It is the ultimate exercise in paranoia. All the pieces on the board are guided by a single combative mind, and every move is significant. In the real world, human beings flail and blunder. For Russian officials who climb the greasy pole in the intelligence services, mistakes are unthinkable. For those who made mistakes are long since buried. The article is entitled, The Russians Think We're Wrecking the World on Purpose. I don't. I think we have the stupidest people in the world running America. And that includes the president. That includes Hillary Clinton. I have no idea who's dictating this to them, but their insanity and their support for so-called democracies have burned the Middle East almost to the ground. And this is just the beginning. And now I wake up today, and there's Obama in Israel mumbling about chemical weapons in Syria, eerily sounding like Bush. I had my guys get the old Bush speech, and I put something together for you that I think is literally worth playing over and over and over again. You agree with me or disagree with me? Is it a pretext for war? Let's go to Sam in North Carolina on line 7. Sam, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage, I agree with you 100%. I think it's an excellent comparison. I'm glad to hear somebody your caliber bring that up.
Well, thank you for listening. I mean, you hear what I mean, doesn't it resonate like the same speech?
Yes, sir, it sure does. And, you know, if I could expand on it a little bit, something you said last night, and if we go back to Obama's getting elected and putting power in this country, I haven't felt for a long time that we've been in control of this country. Like you said, there's other hands moving.
I said secret hands are controlling this. I don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. Who are they? We're going to start to realm into the whole conspiracy world, which is okay. People do it all the time. But it's not productive. I think instead of moving into the realm of conspiracy, all we got to do is look at practicalities. If Obama today in Israel sounds like Bush on Iraq in 2002, that's all we need to hear. It's true. I mean, it's something weird. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that it's just my paranoia because I think like a Russian. I play chess on the radio. I don't play Monopoly. And so everything to me is on a chessboard. And when I see the insanity of this country, particularly on international issues, I have to conclude that we have morons running the country. Morons, total morons. Golfing and then supporting democracy in Egypt, and the next thing we see, they're burning churches to the ground. Let's go to take an Easter vacation in Hawaii, and let's go to Martha's Vineyard, and let's have democracy in Libya. The next thing you know, Libya's on fire and the Islamists win. And Hillary giggles. We came, we saw, he died. Not a word out of the morons in the media. Not a word out of the stenographers. You could put 100 of the top people in the American media in a room, and you put me in that room. I can guarantee you I can out-debate all of them. You put all of them in a room in one audience, I can out-debate all of them at once. They're not playing chess. They're stenographers. They don't even understand how embarrassing it is to listen to them. KSFO, David, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I thought Bush was misdirected with Iraq years ago. But now we have Obama, who seems to be almost vague in his situation. As if
Wait, hold on. You say Bush was misled by the neocons, right?
Yeah, well...
I said that last night. Yes, I actually almost named them, but I decided not to give them any notoriety because they're still operational. The fact is, I don't think they're advising Obama. But if I research this and find out that the same neocons who got us into Iraq, who allegedly were on the side of the Republicans, are now advising Obama, I'll know that it's all over.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we're going to look into that. I think we're going to find out where they are today and what groups they work for, which policy centers they're in, and whether they're advising Obama, because this almost sounds like the same speech to me, David.
Yeah, it does sound like the same speech, but...
Very wishy-washy. In fact, we have a little additional in clip 11. Listen to this. Thank you for the call. Listen to clip 11, Obama today in Israel.
My main goal on this trip has been to have an opportunity to speak directly to the Israeli people at a time when, obviously, what was already a pretty tough neighborhood has gotten tougher, and let them know that they've got a friend in the United States. That we have your back, that we consider Israel's security of extraordinary importance to us.
Why all of a sudden is this Israel-bashing president going to Israel and saying we've got their back? He's not running for office. So what's going on? He wouldn't do this before the election. In fact, if you remember... Do you remember what happened at the Democrat National Convention when they voted against Israel? Do you remember what they did? Don't you remember the embarrassment? It was covered up by the stenographers in the media. You don't remember that. I believe that Bush was well-intentioned, but he was a goof. I believe that the other guy is not well-intentioned, but he's incompetent and he is irresponsible, and there is something wrong with this picture. There is something wrong with this picture. I believe that this incompetence will kill all of us if it's not exposed by the press. However, you have to understand that incompetence and evil can go hand in hand. You have to understand that incompetence and evil do go hand in hand. We have homeland insecurity in this country. The Homeland Insecurity Department buys 2 billion rounds of bullets. They buy automatic weapons. They buy armored vehicles. Why? Why is that not being talked about? What is this country getting ready for? What is going on here? We don't understand anything of this administration. Are they incompetent? Are they evil? Are they drugged out of their minds? What is this? Nobody knows. Are all of the arrows pointing to war? Well, you want me to go on to another topic? You want me to give you some ha-ha talk today? I believe that they're getting ready for a war. And why now is pretty clear. The economy's in the doldrums. War is usually a great kickstart to bring an economy back from the doldrums. It has been used for quite a while. The military industrial complex knows this. There are other stories I was going to do today. Feinstein got defeated by Reid, and she actually attacked Harry Reid, saying that he betrayed her, which is amazing to see a split, the first split I've ever seen in the Democrat Party in since the Obama regime took power, occurred today, with Feinstein saying Reid stopping the assault weapons ban is a betrayal of her. I've never seen it. And it's astounding to me to see how intelligent Reid is. Remember, his job is to keep the Democrats in power in the Senate. He knows well enough that if Feinstein's assault weapons ban was even put out there, they'd probably lose 3 to 5 seats in the midterm elections, which are coming up. So Reid did the right thing. He dumped the bill. He dumped the bill, and he said he's not going to bring it up because it doesn't have 60 votes. That's very wise. Whether you like Reid or not doesn't matter. He didn't get there because he's not brilliant. He didn't get there because he doesn't know how to keep his coalition together. So he knows that Feinstein's fanaticism on this issue of assault weapons would have doomed the Democrat Party. I almost wish that she had put it up for a vote. And I would have loved to have seen the Midwestern fake blue dog Democrats go down and smoke in the midterm elections. They may anyway. I think there's going to be a bloodbath at the voting booths. I don't mean that literally, in the next election, just as there was in 2010. I think that the stealing of the election by the administration during this last campaign will not happen again. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Michael Savage here. Now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2013, resolve to protect your most valuable assets, your family. Every day we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, unemployment, food shortages, slaughters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I only recommend wisefoodstorage.com. From breakfast through dinner, wisefoodstorage.com ready-made foods are packaged for freshness in individual pouches. Do you know that they carry up to a 25-year shelf life? They're prepared in minutes just by adding water. Visit wisefoodstorage.com. savage.com today. And guess what? You get a free entree sample. Did you hear that? For a limited time, enter the promo code SAVAGE to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. And be sure to mention the promo code SAVAGE for a free sample and free shipping on any order. You've got to be ready and you've got to be wise with wisefoodstorage.com.
Days of vote. Traffic, major problems in Mound View, southbound 101. Injury crash before Rengsdorf. The three left lanes are blocked. Traffic at a standstill back through Palo Alto, pretty much from Embarcadero, almost the University Avenue. No word when they're going to get things cleared up, but try and avoid that stretch of the peninsula if you can. Still heavy out of the city. Northbound 101 from 280 onto the lower deck. Upper deck sluggish from the island to 101 and eastbound 24. Still slow as you head for the Caldecott. I'm Dave Fowkes, KSFO.
The Ovation Nation just keeps growing. Over 200,000 customers have repaired dry, brittle, and damaged hair with Ovation Cell Therapy.
I'm thrilled to report that Ovation does everything you said it would and more. I couldn't be happier with the results. My hair holds a curl all day. My hair is thicker and shinier than it's ever been, and it's growing. It really is a miraculous revolution. I'm a believer, and I'm telling anyone who will listen, Ovation is an amazing product.
Ovation Cell Therapy can help repair the damage caused by harsh chemicals and heat styling and grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster. Ovation is safe and effective on all hair types, even for chemotherapy hair loss recovery. And it's easy to use. Just a simple cream rinse type application.
Log on to ovationhair.com, and when you enter KSFO, you'll receive a special introductory discount at checkout. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to enter KSFO at checkout for your special discount.
The Ovation Nation just keeps growing.
Here it comes, California. Spring break, spring training, spring forward, spring cleaning. What about a spring in your step? I'm Heather for 800 New Toes. When I produced the Dr. Dean Adele Show, we got tons of calls about toenail fungus. Dr. Adele consistently encouraged listeners to free themselves of this stubborn condition via FDA-approved laser treatment available through the board-certified foot doctors at 800 New Toes. To kickstart sandal season, the New Toes doctors are offering you a $100 savings on the New Toes treatment through the end of March. You'll be in and out of the New Toes offices faster than it takes your cousin in Chicago to shovel the front walk. And unlike frostbite, New Toes treatment is painless. Warm California days are headed our way, so get healthy New Toes now and look great in sexy sandals, flip-flops, or barefoot. Book your appointment now and save $100. Call 800-NEW-TOES or check out 800newtoes.com. For a spring in your step, 800-NEW-TOES.
Now is a great time to be shopping for a used car. Larry Gamash from Carfax.
Get an inspection and shop at a Carfax Advantage dealer. They'll give you a free Carfax report.
See accidents and service records reported to Carfax, plus a price based on the car's history. Just say, show me the Carfax.
Skate date. Head to the Belmont Iceland Ice Skating Rink for family fun or a great date. Get half off at SweetJack.com.
Sweet Jack. Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
If it sounds confusing to you, let me acknowledge. It is confusing.
Mike Huckabee.
And that is the problem with the American tax system.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
And finally, we continued our close consultation on Iran. We agree that a nuclear-armed Iran, a threat to the region, a threat to the world, and potentially an existential threat to Israel. And we agree on our goal. We do not have a policy of containment when it comes to a nuclear Iran.
Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, how did he become a hawk all of a sudden? How did Obama, the dove, suddenly become a hawk? He's talking about alleged use of chemical weapons in Syria. He won't stand for that. He's talking about the potential nuclear armament, nuclear-armed Iran. He won't stand for that. When did he suddenly become a hawk? How did this happen overnight? People were screaming about this a year ago, 2 years ago. He wouldn't say a word. And so I go back to the article by Goldman that I read earlier. The Russians think we're wrecking the world on purpose. And some of the blog comments are really brilliant. You know, people are so smart. And somebody wrote this. The Russians just need to remember what Arnold Toynbee once said about America. Quote, America is like a large friendly dog sitting in a very small room. Every time it wags its tail, it knocks over a chair. Nobody can write like that anymore. Another one writes, their confusion, meaning America's confusion, appears as incompetence, but it's not really that. They beckon and mime mindlessly as the strings are pulled. Puppets never know the full mind of the master. That's eerie. How can all the leaders of the U.S. be so stupid as to leave the country unguarded and cater to their enemies? One idiot is expected. 10 idiots is reasonable. 100 idiots is a calamity. 1,000 idiots is a conspiracy. Someone else writes, yes, it's about time everyone realized that there truly are fanatical and committed enemies of the Constitution inside Washington, not just dupes or idiots. Okay? I mean, people see what's going on. What explanation do you have? Is the administration a combination of malice and incompetence? Something is wrong with this picture. For Obama to go from a dove to hawk, literally overnight, is worrisome. It's a talk radio show. I'm not a government official. After all, I don't even teach at the Kennedy School of Government. I'm not as brilliant as most of those tenured professors at the Kennedy School of Government. Why ask them their opinion? They sound about as intelligent as the forensic psychologist testifying as a defense expert for Jody Arias. Because when you put them on the stand and actually ask them where they draw their conclusions from, they fall apart. They fall apart like a, like a Chinese battery pack. 855-400-7282, like a Chinese light bulb, let's put it to you. They fall apart like a Chinese light bulb, let's put it to you that way. They're as wholesome inside as a Malaysian-grown shrimp. They're as healthy for you as a, I'm trying to get an analogy that works because I try to warn you about not eating prawns anymore when you see where they come. I won't eat Asian prawns. I told you that for a while. I ask every restaurant what the source of their seafood is. If they say Asia, I won't eat it. I will not eat Asian seafood. And I didn't know the extent of how poisonous it was until I found that article yesterday, which I put on michaelsavage.com for you. You'll never eat a prawn again as long as you live. Never. And then the elephant story. I mean, it's not related to any of this at all, but there's something wrong in the world right now. There's a malice. There's an evil. The Pope had it right. The Pope had it right. There's an evil raging across the globe, unlike any I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I think it's because we have incompetence and atheism at the top of the free world. If we had a God-fearing, decent moral man running America, I don't think this world would be as screwed up as it is right now. At least that's one man's opinion. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Iraq's combination of weapons of mass destruction and ties to terrorist groups and ballistic missiles would threaten the peace and security of many nations.
We know the Syrian government has the capacity to carry out chemical weapon attacks.
Chaos in that region would be felt in Europe and beyond.
The Assad regime must understand that they will be held accountable for the use of chemical weapons or their transfer to terrorists.
The time has arrived once again for free nations to face up to our global responsibilities.
Iran's leaders must understand, however, that they have to meet their international obligations. And meanwhile, the international community will continue to increase the pressure on the Iranian government.
Those who choose to live in denial may eventually be forced to live in fear.
I have made clear that the use of chemical weapons is a game changer. All options are on the table. We will do what is necessary to prevent Iran from getting the world's worst weapons.
Well, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I put together two speeches, one from 02 by Bush, talking about WMDs that didn't exist and the pretext for war in Iraq. And now we have Obama in Israel with a limo on the wrong gas, dying out, talking about chemical weapons in Syria, which we don't know if they were used. We don't know which side used them, if they were used. But nevertheless, I think hitting the war drums. And I ask you one simple question. And that question was asked in the last hour. Do you believe Obama in Israel is laying the groundwork for a new war in the Middle East? I fear so. I fear so for a number of different reasons. I mean, there's lots of news, but why go away from what's the biggest story here? War is the worst catastrophe that mankind can engage in, second to being conquered. But we're not being threatened by a potential conquering nation, are we? So something is wrong with this picture. Something is very, very wrong with this picture. And as we are on the cusp of Passover and Easter, again, important holidays to both Christians and Jews, respectively, we have to ask ourselves, what do the sands of time hold for us? What is going on? I can go into the history of the Jewish people, because once again, here we are looking at a potential war in the Middle East, which no matter what happens, no matter who engages, it will be blamed on the Jews. That's what's going to happen if it happens. Once again, all the world will be blaming them. We know this. The ancient Hebrews were not that important in their own time. The ancients were not that important in their own time, but their influence was greatly important to the world, to the latter history of the world, greatly important. You have to understand that. The Jewish people were settled in Judea long before 1000 B.C., and their capital city after that time was Jerusalem. But their story, the story of the ancient Hebrews, so to speak, must be seen as interwoven with that of the great empires on each side of them, Egypt to the south, and the changing empires of Babylon, Syria, and Assyria to the north. But the ancient Hebrews and their ancient nation were a high road between these latter powers and Egypt. And the importance of the Jews to the world is due to the fact that the Jewish people produced a great written literature, a world history, a collection of laws, chronicles, psalms, books of wisdom, poetry and fiction, political writings, which all were put together in what is now known by Christians as the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. And this literature appears in history in the 4th or 5th century B.C. Now, if you are a religious person, you would say it was the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you call it. It was a seminal book at its time. Where did this literature come from of the Jewish people? It was put together in Babylon. And I'm not going to go into the story of the Pharaoh, Necho II, the Assyrian Empire. I'm not going to talk about the Medes, the Persians, the Chaldeans. I'm not going to go into any of that because I think that history blows people away from in an audience. They don't like history. But we're living through history, whether we want to believe it or not. You're living through history. If you're interested in politics, you're interested in history. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you don't see that everything we are talking about every day in talk radio, virtually every newspaper article that you read that has to do with international politics or national politics that affect the nation as a whole is history. You're looking at history. You're living in history. You're part of history. You listening to this show right now are part of a very important moment in human history. Where it will lead us, anyone's guess. We saw the disaster of the Iraq War. The Iraq War was a disaster. There was no reason for it. Either Bush was well-meaning, which I think he was, and misled by the so-called neocon advisors. But I don't think that Obama's being misled. We don't know who's advising him. And so, as I said to you in the last hour, the Russians think that the United States is destroying the world on purpose, while some would think we just have a group of incompetent morons completely destroying the world by accident. So, I mean, the questions are obvious to you, right? And I think we should just take some calls and maybe move on. But I'll repeat the question. Do you think that Obama's leading to war either with Syria or with Iran or both? I believe he is. What is he doing there? Let me take your calls, though, on the Savage Nation. Let's go to WABC first this hour in New York. Bob on WABC. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah, go ahead.
Michael, I think the question is, you know, President Obama unconvincingly tells us that he has Israel's back covered. Then why are we initiating or continuing the contract of 200 tanks and 20 F-16s to Morsi, who thinks the Jews are descendants from pigs and monkeys?
Well, first of all, it was 400 Abrams tanks, which is alarming. That's an awful lot of tanks that could be used to invade Israel. And there were more than the number of F-16s that you mentioned, and they're the latest iteration of the F-16. I have no idea what Obama's doing. It looks like he's just arming both sides again to keep the war machine alive. I must go back to the military-industrial complex. Again, that is horrible if that's what's going on, but it wouldn't be the first time, nor would it be unexpected. I think that the forces of the military-industrial complex are such that they could be behind this, don't you?
Yes, Michael. And
thank you. So what else can I say about it? What else can I say about it? What is he doing there? What is he doing there? Why is Obama in Israel? He's not running for office. He doesn't need the Jewish vote. He has the Jewish vote. 90% of the Jews in America voted for him because they don't even know who to vote for. Anyone with a D next to the name, the Jewish person votes for because they still think that they're on Ellis Island. They could be worth $1 billion and identify with the with Emma Goldman. That's what my interpretation is. One man's opinion. I don't know if you agree with me, but that's how I... How else do you explain it? How do you explain that the billionaires of Hollywood are on Obama's side when he stabbed Israel in the back for the last several years? So if he's done that, why is he there now all of a sudden telling the world he loves Israel? What is this about? Clip 11. Again, Neil, play 11.
My main goal on this trip has been to have an opportunity to speak directly to the Israeli people at a time when, obviously, what was already a pretty tough neighborhood has gotten tougher, and let them know that they've got a friend in the United States, that we have your back, that we consider Israel's security of extraordinary importance to us.
Now, you would have expected this speech just before the election, when people were doubting his commitment to Israel, right? Christians, Jews, others, and on the other side, the Arabs, were cheering that he wasn't backing Israel. But why is he doing it now? What's in it for him? Well, you could say that the Democrats are running scared because internal polling shows that in the midterm election, they're going to lose a lot of Senate seats. I mean, that would explain a part of this. If I were an analyst for a government and I was sitting in a room with, you know, other analysts, I'd say, well, the reason I came to that conclusion, sir, is based upon a number of things. One, because Harry Reid just shafted Dianne Feinstein on the assault weapons ban, simply because Harry Reid was afraid of losing Democrat seats in the Senate in the midterm elections, and he figured now was the time. So even Reid's action against Feinstein on the assault weapons ban indicates that there's some internal polling amongst the Democrats showing them in trouble. You're not going to read about that in the press that's owned by the Democrat Party. But that would be one indicator that the Democrats see they're in trouble. The people distrust the Democrats. They feel the election was stolen by the Democrats, and they want to get even. And they think that they're going to be punished. So even Harry Reid moves to the right. Couple that with Obama going to the Middle East now, and suddenly I love Israel. Am Yisrael Chai. I mean, why doesn't he just break matzah with him, put on the yarmulke, do the Wailing Wall, you know, the whole deal. What is he doing? He's campaigning. He's campaigning for the midterm elections. The Democrats are terrified they'll lose the Senate. So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, or combined with that, is that he actually is banging the war drums for reasons that are not understood by otherwise rational people. The last thing America needs right now is another war. Here's an article just came out minutes ago. March 20th, 2013, 10:04 a.m. Oh, no, it came out this morning. Jerusalem Post editor says we can't figure out what he's doing here. You hear? The J Post editor says we can't figure out what Obama is doing here. The Israeli people consider Obama a hostile president overall. Can you believe this? Nobody understands this. Nobody understands this. When asked about how the installment of Chuck Hagel as the Secretary of Defense was received by the Israeli people, it was said it's a hostile act. It was a hostile act. That's how the Israelis see it. Chuck Hagel sounds, well, let's not go into Chuck Hagel. There's something wrong with the whole picture. I don't know whether he's posing as a friend, wearing the sheep's clothing so he can get amidst the flock and stab them in the back. I don't know whether he's really in favor of the Islamo-fascists in the Middle East. I have no idea. I know the Israeli people are hardened, far more hardened than the American people. I think that they're less easily fooled than the American people. I believe that, I don't know what to believe at this point beyond that. Something is wrong with the whole picture. There is something wrong with the whole picture. I don't know why Obama is there. Now, I've given you two theories. One is that he's afraid of the midterm elections, where he's going to have a wholesale bloodbath, and they'll lose the Senate. Then the Republicans will own both the Senate and the House, and his presidency is effectively over. His Obamacare will be gutted, et cetera, go down the whole list. So that would explain Feinstein and Reid's fight, which I'll play for you the minute I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, I don't impress easily, so here's reason number eight why Blinds.com constantly impresses me. Over 100 design experts in-house. Impressive, since you're lucky to track down even one expert at a home improvement store. When I ordered new blinds from Blinds.com, I couldn't have been more impressed. They're available via phone, online chat, even video chat, via their free face-to-face design consultation service. Unbelievable. It's like having a decorator in your house. Of course, free online how-to videos make installation unbelievably easy, or you can always have them send over a pro installer to do it for you. And even if you mismeasure, it's improbable. They'll remake it for free. You heard me, free. And be sure to check out their remarkable new InstaFit cordless honeycomb shades. They are beautiful, affordable, and removable. You can install them in about a minute. No tools, no drilling. You're the boss. No brackets. Go to Blinds.com, where you always get free color. Color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states. And remember this, Blinds.com prices crush home improvement store prices, period. Blinds.com, they're my friends, they're good people. Be your own boss, go to Blinds.com.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse, much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collection, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-299-1855. That's 800-299-1855. 800-299-1855.
City Arms is the Bay Area's premier firearms retailer with two locations in Pacifica and their newest location in Pleasant Hill. Brian Sussman here, and for years, City Arms has been my Second Amendment dealer of choice. They offer the Bay Area a huge selection of firearms, ammunition, knives, and other related accessories. City Arms' knowledgeable staff takes pride in customer satisfaction. Not only will you find the best selection, you'll find very reasonable prices. Whether you're a sports shooter, hunter, avid competitive shooter, collector, or you're just interested in personal protection and home defense, in these challenging times, City Arms is here to help. And by the way, if they don't have it in stock, they'll do their best to find it. City Arms, with two Bay Area locations, 90 Eureka Square in Pacifica, and their newest location, 60 Golf Club Road in Pleasant Hill. See them on the web at city-arms.com. That's City Arms. Preserving America's future by upholding past tradition.
If you simply start taking Social Security benefits at face value, you could be leaving tens of thousands of dollars on the table. But if you knew a few little-known strategies, you could earn tens of thousands of dollars, even as much as $100,000 more in Social Security income. And if you earn more in Social Security income, you wouldn't be depleting your other retirement accounts, leaving you with the ability to do all of the things you ever dreamed of in retirement, or to pass along more of your wealth to the people you love. Take the first step and get a copy of a free report, The Social Security Decision, from the Integrated Wealth Consultants. This report is free, so you've got nothing to lose. Learn how you can generate as much as $100,000 more in Social Security income. Call to get your free report right now at 415-233-7137. 415-233-7137. That's 415-233-7137.
Do you know which investment is projected to double in price? Let's ask Scott Carter.
It's not stocks. It's not bonds. It's silver.
What's happening with silver?
Shortages are showing up because supply is critically low. In just the last 10 years, 90% of the world's supply has been used up.
Where are the shortages?
Well, twice this year, the U.S. Mint has run out of silver.
So where's the silver price headed?
We believe all the signs tell us silver should be double where it is now.
Before we went on, you told me Lear has a special offer on a new silver coin. What is it?
It's a 1.5-ounce silver polar bear coin. It's minted from the finest silver, it's the only 1.5-ounce coin on the market that carries a government guarantee, and it's eligible for IRAs. For a limited time, new customers can buy 20 silver polar bears and get one free, our lowest price ever.
Folks, call 1-800-601-8761 now. The offer is limited. Invest just $5,000, and for each purchase of 20 silver polar bear coins, you'll get one free. That's 1-800-601-8761, 800-601-8761.
Tackling the subjects they told you never to talk about on the only conservative station in the Bay Area. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Once again, in the land of Abraham, we go. Once again, a president is in the land of Abraham. Once again, a man is in Jerusalem. Once again, a man is in the center of the spiritual universe for the Western, for most of the world, incidentally, except, let us say, the Buddhists and Hindus, which are just quite a few billion people. But let us say for our world, there's Obama, and he's there. So I've given you two scenarios as to why I think he's there. One, war drums. Two, to bolster Jewish support for fear they'll lose midterm elections. Now I'll give you a third one, a curveball job. You ready for this? Because my mind is rather plastic when it comes to analysis. I'm not bound by any rigorous doxies in my thinking, and I was trained to think logically. So here's a third one. Already there are riots amongst the Palestinians. They're burning pictures of Obama. By dint of him even going with Netanyahu, they're angry at him. They're angry at America. One could argue that Obama's going there to stir up the Palestinians and have them riot, then have the Israelis crack down on them and kill some Palestinians. And then Obama will say, I tried my best, but the Jews just simply can't be trusted. Therefore, we have to have them give up the West Bank, and that's the end of it. He could actually be going there to trigger some kind of intifada. You say it's impossible. Oh, no, not impossible with this man. So I've given you three now. Depending upon your degree of rationality, or your degree of given towards conspiracy theory, you can draw to any come to any conclusion. But he's there for a reason. He didn't go there for the Batesim in Tel Aviv. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, he didn't go there for the prairie oysters served in the Yemenite restaurants of Tel Aviv. What is he doing there? Why is he there? I've given you three scenarios. I don't write for the Daily Globe. I don't write for the Washington Post. I don't write for the New York Times. I speak for the Savage Nation. And apparently, you know, one area I've almost never been wrong on, and it's international. From the day I began in radio, strategically, I've never been wrong in any of my prognostications on international affairs, ever. Ever. I've been wrong here and there on domestic. Never wrong internationally. I'm telling you, this is not good. That's all I can say to you. Whatever it is, it's not good. It's, as my grandmother would have, it's just something wrong with this picture. So let's see what you have to say about it. Joe in Memphis, Tennessee. I have four stations in Tennessee. There are four affiliates in the great state of Tennessee. We're going to go to one of them, WKIM, 98.9 FM in Memphis, Tennessee. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Obama and his whole regime is a master of misdirection. He's an illusionist. And I agree with you. You can't just be looking at his left hand. You've got to be looking at his right also.
Mm.
Why is he there after 4 years of not wanting to have anything to do with Israel, not going to Israel, not wanting to visit Israel, not wanting to talk anything about it? When Joe Biden...
Right, so I've given three possibilities. None of them are good.
And there's more also. I mean, what's the if he wants to take his the people's attention off the economy, and he wants to spend money freely, what's the easiest way to do that? Start a war. You could spend money right.
The military industrial complex could be behind this. He could just simply be another front man for those powers, as was Bush. Not entirely, but in part. All of the leaders of any country are answering to somebody. We all answer to somebody. We all answer to somebody. Don't assume that they're gods. They're not gods. Or are they? Yes, but I don't trust this man. Do you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, it's that time again. Once a year, every year for the last decade, I sit down with author and Swiss America chairman Craig Smith, my friend, to discuss the true state of the U.S. economy and what to expect ahead. Craig and I have been right on the money every year like clockwork. This year, Craig turned up the burner and has boiled down the most critical news and financial trends into the simple truth. Swiss America is offering this confidential interview we recorded. It's free. Free to my listeners on compact disc or downloadable MP3 by simply calling 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN for free. Today, our great nation hangs in the balance. We're on the verge of becoming a perpetual welfare state. Call now for your free copy of the Savage Simple Truth CD and Craig's 31st anniversary newsletter, both free. No one hearing my voice now will be able to say we did not warn you. So call 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN right now for the Savage Simple Truth. Call 800-289-2646. Be prepared.
Good evening. I'm Dave Fanuk, Shot Talk 560 KSFO. Police are investigating a murder in Antioch today. The body of a 20-year-old Antioch resident was found at the intersection of William Reed Drive and West Metal Street. The man accused of stealing a yacht from Sausalito will undergo a medical evaluation to see if he's mentally fit to stand trial. His case has been put on hold pending the doctor's report. Longtime state legislator Nicholas Petras died at the age of 90. Petras represented the East Bay for decades and was a major advocate of tax reform, farm worker rights, and mental health services. Taking a look at the roadways, have a stalled car on the upper deck of the Bay Bridge right before Treasure Island. Looks like the left lane is blocked. Traffic a bit sluggish on the incline. Southbound 101 at Rangsdorf, earlier accident has been cleared. Traffic still a bit slow as you make that transition from Palo Alto into Mountain View, but it is definitely getting better. Still a bit sluggish out of San Francisco, northbound, actually eastbound 80 from the split to the lower deck. I'm Dave Fauch, KSFO.
The best damn morning show, period.
Clifton checks in from Vallejo. Good morning, Clifton.
Ryan, get ready for this one. A congressman is having opposition to stop a program that's buying cell phones for dead people. Do you believe the ridiculousness of this government, man? Dead. We all should be calling up, screaming to the high heavens. But for dead people? Now, come on, let's get real. I'm going to hang up on myself.
Weekday mornings at 5 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Hey, Brian Sussman here, and a lot of people ask me where I buy my gold and silver from. Desert Gold Exchange. That's right, Desert Gold Exchange. Family-owned and operated, a perfect rating with the Better Business Bureau, no complaints ever filed, and they are experts. They know the market oh so well. And the thing I really like is because they're family-owned and operated, they treat you like a valuable customer, not a quick transaction. Better prices, lower commissions, fast delivery. Generally takes only 2 to 3 days to get your products. And by the way, if you're thinking of converting your IRA or 401k into gold, call Desert Gold Exchange right away. I'll give you the phone number in just a moment because they can help you through that process. Again, Desert Gold Exchange, 20 years of experience in the gold business. They're my dealer of choice, 888-852-4343. Call them today, 888-852-4343, online, desertgoldexchange.com.
How do you choose the right replacement window? On the phone today, we have Matt Miller from Renewal by Anderson Replacement Windows. Matt, from what I understand, poor quality vinyl windows have a lot of problems.
Katie, there's a misconception out there that vinyl is the modern window replacement material. Really, vinyl is just another word for plastic. Many of the builder's grade vinyl windows that we replace are just 7 to 10 years old. There are piles of these in the landfill. Our windows are custom built from our own patented material called Fibrex. It's made of reclaimed wood and a high-tech polymer that's twice as strong as vinyl, so you get consistent window performance for years to come.
Is it true you guys don't provide estimates? You actually provide something even better?
Estimates change, and customers want a price they can count on. So we'll come to your home, we'll give you a free in-home window diagnosis where we measure your windows, listen to your needs, and go over all the style and color options. Then we give you not an estimate, but a down-to-the-penny price quote that's actually good for one full year.
Now, what about the special that Renewal by Andersen has going on right now?
Right now, this spring, if you buy just five windows, your sixth window is actually free. And you can pair that with no money down, no payments, and no interest for a full year. It's like getting your windows for free now and not paying for them until 2014.
Great. Thanks, Matt. For a limited time with Renewal by Andersen, buy just five windows and your sixth window is free with no money down, no payments, and no interest for a year. For more information, call 1-800-417-1010. 1-800-417-1010. That's 1-800-417-1010. Or visit goodwindowpayment.com.
Your favorite radio station really helps you out. It wakes you up in the morning, plays the music you love all day, and keeps you in touch with what's happening around you. Now, it just got better. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device, including iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, and more. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com. Your favorite station with the music and personalities you love is always just a click away. Thanks to iHeartRadio.
Coming up on the next morning show, we'll talk to a representative from the World Wildlife Fund about the Earth Hour, 5 to 9 a.m. on KSFO.
I don't buy that at all. So there's something else here, and it's worrisome to me. It could be as simple as politics. He stabbed Israel in the back, ignored Israel, didn't meet with Netanyahu. This before the election. Do you understand the logic of what I'm laying before you? I don't have to get excited and start screaming and yelling. You're listening to a radio program, throwing out an idea. The president's there talking about Syria, weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons, sounding just like Bush in 02. And those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it, said Santayana, and I don't mean the musician. No, Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, wrote that. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Are we condemned to repeat the Iraq War all over again because we are that, I don't know, distracted? We don't even know our own history. Again, another war? Well, then we have the realpolitik. Reid stops the assault weapons ban and Feinstein does a boo-hoo. Listen to clip one. This is very important.
I did the bill in 1994 on the floor as an amendment. It enacted a law. It went on to the House. It was enacted. What Senator Reid told me is that I would have an opportunity for a vote. I take him at his word. I told him also that it would be my intention to separate out the prohibition on the future manufacture, transfer, sales, possession of large ammunition feeding devices of more than 10 bullets. I asked him if this could be part of a package. He said no.
Okay, he said no. Now listen to how boo-hoo-y she gets. Now she's probably the most powerful senator next to Reid. Sits on major committees. Listen to clip two.
This is very important to me. And I'm not going to lay down and play dead. I think the American people have said in every single public poll that they support this kind of legislation. It's aimed to protect children.
No, she's wrong about every poll that she had. Every poll she paid for said that. But Harry Reid knows a little differently. Harry Reid lives in the real world, not in San Francisco. You may not like Harry Reid, but Harry Reid is a brilliant strategist. Remember, he controls the U.S. Senate. And so then he says why he dropped her assault weapons ban. This all ties into what I'm talking about, the Middle East. Listen to clip three.
I have said time and time again, I want people to have the ability to vote on assault weapons, mental health, safety in schools, federal trafficking, clips, everything. But I cannot do that until I get a bill on the floor. And it's been very clear, Republicans want us to have bills coming to the floor that have gone through committee. The Judiciary Committee has held hearings, and they've held hearings on a number of different pieces of legislation. My job is to find one of those that I can bring to the floor, or two of them, but at least have been through the committee, and that I can get 60 votes to proceed to that.
And he said he doesn't have the 60 votes, so he's a strategist. He didn't become Speaker of the Senate, and so he doesn't have the votes. It's that simple. So he said, no, we're going to pull it. So Dianne Feinstein now is fighting with Harry Reid, which is a very good thing. It's the first schism I have seen during this regime in the Democrat machine. It's the first break of the Democrat Party. I've not seen this before. They've never disagreed on anything. But Harry Reid did it because he's worried about the midterm elections, in plain English. What does that mean? It means people who come from states where guns are part of their culture and tradition will throw the Democrats out in their behinds where they belong for posing as good boy conservatives when in fact they're nothing but big city liberals. They'll get thrown out in their behinds, and Harry Reid knows that. So he said, no, we're dropping it, Dianne. Stop with your pushing this, because it can't win, number one. It'll cost us the Senate. You may feel good when you go out with Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer and go to the museum together and sip Chardonnay. You may feel good that you did it again, but you'll destroy the party's power. That's what he was thinking anyway. He's a brilliant man in that regard. Again, you don't have to like him. His politics, what's there to like in anyone? You don't know these people. So the point is that this is a very important prelude to what I'm going to say to you. If Harry Reid himself shafts the most powerful woman senator in America by taking her baby, her pet, her assault weapons ban, and saying, I'm not running with it because he's afraid of the midterm elections, that means the party has given some thought to the midterm elections. Enter Obama, center stage. I'll go to Israel. I'll hug Netanyahu. I'll say I love the Jews. I love Israel. I'll win back all of those people who are now turning against us because they see through us. That's theory number one. That's, you know, one theory. Pardon me. Theory number two is simply war drums for the military-industrial complex for the contracting. Theory number three is stir up the Palestinians, have them riot, new intifada. Israelis have to kill them. Terrible scene. Again, the tires, the dead, the crying, the babies. Obama says, I tried my best. The Jews are intractable. They're a stiff-necked people. We're going to force them to give up the old land of Philistia. I know you haven't heard that term in a while, but nevertheless, it's actually Judea and Samaria. It's not the land of Joppa, Ashdod, and Ashkelon and Gaza. That's where the Philistines resided, if you know anything about the history. But let's forget the ancient land of the Hebrews. I know many of you who are biblically oriented know what I'm talking about. But it's unimportant that we talk about that right now. The reality on the ground is that this is a mess in the Middle East that will never be solved in your lifetime. Never. The Jews are not leaving. The Jews are powerful. They've learned from history. They're not going to leave. They're not giving up Israel. There's going to be no Palestinian state in your lifetime ever, if ever. Through demographics and through attrition, Israel will slowly disappear, whether it'll take 50 years, 60 years or less. Through attrition, through demographics, the Jewish state will be absorbed back into the desert. Now, where did I come up with that? I heard it from a captain in the Israeli army 20 years ago, himself a third-generation Israeli, a war hero, fought on the Golan Heights, one of the bravest men I've ever met, grew up in Israel, his father fought in the war, his grandfather fought. He said, that's the future, demographics. It's the future of the world, in a nutshell. It's the future of America as well. Demographics rule, and we're going to lose America by the same token. You may not see it that way, but that's what's going on. The Western peoples just simply don't want to have children for whatever the reasons. You can name 100 different reasons. They just want to have fun. Girls just want to have fun. Guys just want to party the night away. They just don't want to be mommy and daddy anymore. And that, my friends, is the rest of the story. But let's not go too far in advance. Let's live in the present today. And let's go back to my question. And so, therefore, I'll go to my callers who know everything. WMAL, Washington, D.C., Greg, you've been listening to me. What do you think is the correct assumption here as to why Obama is in Israel?
I think he wants to have a final legacy of a great warrior like Bush. I think he'll put a line in the sand, give Iran a deadline, And he won't send troops, but I think he'll just bomb the hell out of them the same way he did Libya.
Well, what is going on, I don't know. I just have three theories, or four, you know. The worst thing that could be is another war for this country. It ripped the country to pieces. Thank you for the call. It's funny, my novel is called A Time for War, isn't it? Where did I get the title from? The Bible. I got it from the Bible. Some of the greatest titles come from the Bible. I've told you where I get some of my inspiration from. Doesn't mean I'm a holy roller. I wish I were, but I don't have that faith. But it came from the Bible. A time for war is a time for peace, a time for, right? A time for love, a time for hate, a time for life, a time for death. You read that, remember? Do we have that wonderful song? Maybe we'll break it up a little bit. Maybe people are depressed listening to me. Maybe they want some ha-ha. Maybe they want some laughter.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate. A time of war, a time of peace. A time you may embrace, a time to reframe.
Well, you get the picture. Time for war. Let's pray not. Unfortunately, I think that the power mad could care less whether a nation burns or a man dies. I'm not depressed, don't get me wrong, but we're living in very bad times. I don't know that I even feel like telling you any more of what I actually see, and nor does it matter what I see. I'm only one man. To many of you, I'm a talk show host who you've come to listen to and admire, love. Some of you don't love me, but you listen anyway. You're addicted to me. You think it's laughable, but it isn't laughable. I'm not Jeremiah the weeping prophet. I'm not Isaiah who said God is your husband. I'm Michael Savage, talk show host. These almost 19 years, actually March 24th, strangely, is 19 years in radio. Wow. 94 to 2013. I didn't think time would go by so fast. But, well, here we are. And it's been quite a cycle when I think about it. And here we have the president in the Middle East out of the blue for no reason. What is he doing there? He's not a friend of Israel. He's not a friend of the Jewish people. We know that. And yet here he is in Israel, embracing Netanyahu, who he spited. Plants a tree in a forest, they're going to tear it out when he leaves. Did you hear that one? He brought a magnolia tree in a pot, and they planted it in an Israeli forest, and the Department of Agriculture in Israel said they're going to rip it out because you're not allowed to plant any foreign plants in the land of Israel without their approval because they're afraid of, you know, contaminants, insects or whatever kind of fungus could be on a plant. I mean, the metaphors, the symbolism, the limousine having the wrong gas put in it by Obama's minions here in America. Could you believe this level of incompetence that they fly a bulletproof limousine in on Air Force Two to accompany the great leader, the king of America, and the limo doesn't ride? It has to be put on a flatbed because they put the wrong gas in it. It's unbelievable to me. If someone were writing this as a skit, they couldn't have created anything like that. He gives them a tree to plant, and the tree has to be ripped out because it may be, it hasn't been inspected. I don't know what to make of all of it. The whole world's crazy. There doesn't seem to be any north, south, east, or west. The poles seem to be shifting. The people are not interested in any of this. You know, you want me to launch into a tirade right now about what's going on in America? I'll give you a little tirade, a 30-second tirade. I listen to the news. I watch it. I have to turn it off in 15 seconds or less, 30 seconds maximum. I can't watch it. I don't care what the channel is. It's all about the same. All I see is an act. I turn on MSNBC. I see the foaming act, the maniac act. Turn it off. I turn on Fox. I see them floundering. They don't know which way to turn. They're not bad people. They don't know what to say. They don't know which way to turn. They're like the Republican Party. They don't know how to appeal to the listeners anymore. The listeners don't know what they want to be hear anymore. The listeners are like distracted children with ADD. The American media is trying to appeal to a listenership that seems to have ADD. They don't know what they want to do, nor what they want to hear. The reasons are manifold. We're going to go down the list. The iPhone. What do they need news for when they have an iPhone in their hand and that gives them the Holy Grail? They have the Holy Grail in their hand. Look at the people walking around in the streets of America today. Look at the people with what they have in their hand. They don't look at a stranger. They could bump into a wall. They don't hear a stranger. They don't want to know anything. They don't want to have a conversation. They can't have a conversation. They don't know how to have a conversation. They don't know what verse is. They become illiterates. They become semi-literates with the iPhones. They're twittering. They're starting to sound like actors. Almost all of them have the mentality of a combination of Jody Arias and, let us say, one of the dumb actors of Hollywood, twittering each other with broken words, broken sentences, no punctuation, no literacy, no thought, no connection to anything. And the broken words in an average Twitter message are the equivalent of the mind of America today. It's like a nation twittering like birds in a cave smelling the noxious gas. I'll be right back.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here's what's going on in the world on MichaelSavage.com. Seven Marines die and Obama tweets pictures of snack time. Obama's in Israel, as you may know, and his limo died out there to put it on a flatbed and haul it back. You hear about this? Obama's presidential bulletproof limo was sent from the United States on Air Force Two so the king could ride around in his own car, and it ran out of gas. You know why? One of the morons he hired filled it with diesel fuel instead of regular gasoline. How's that for a president who can shoot straight? Also on MichaelSavage.com, Bethlehem rioters set fire to pictures of Obama. Those would be Palestinians. Have you read A Time for War? Is China already at war with us? Well, they're certainly at war with us. They're stealing our nuclear secrets. They're stealing our military secrets. They're stealing our industrial secrets. They control our currency. Read my novel, A Time for War. Sometimes life imitates art, doesn't it? Saudi propaganda shows happy women in Saudi Arabia, inside the homes and lives of Saudi women. They don't show the women who are beheaded and mutilated. It's like a Potemkin, you know, village. Woman 75 convicted of murdering her grandson. She said she shot him six times in self-defense. Harry Reid shoots down Feinstein's gun ban bill. Go, Harry, go. White House refuses to promise Obama will cut back on lavish vacations. Just tighten your belt, not his. U.S. intelligence worker caught in a Chinese honey trap. He's charged with giving national security secrets to a Chinese woman. Oh, no, they're not at war with us. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? China engineering genius babies. Sequester has local leaders mulling tax increases. Do you love eating prawns? You'll never eat them again if you read the article that appeared in the Daily Mail, and it's on my website. For those of you who are wine lovers, James Barrett has died. His Chardonnay won a prestigious Paris tasting in 1976, and it was in California. It set the world of wine on its heels. If you've not read the interview with Michael Savage in the New Yorker magazine, I suggest that if you have an IQ above 120, you read it. Look, I'm a student of history, and I understand that all of civilization is about the invasions of various and sundry peoples into other places. I mean, you look at Britain. And you say, well, Britain, you think of the English, right? You think, oh, well, they've been there forever. Well, they haven't been there forever. The Anglo-Saxons were there between 449 and, well, they were there for a while. But
Britain first appears on a page of history with Julius Caesar's expedition across the channel from the European mainland in 55 BC. Think of what I just said to you. Because before this, the British Isles were vaguely known to Mediterranean peoples. There were traders for centuries bringing in tin, gold, pearls from the island. But only after Caesar's attempt at conquest was there interchange between the civilized Europe. And Caesar landed on the southern coast. Britain was inhabited by a mixed collection of people. Again, it was an invasion. Those who he encountered were Celts, closely related to the Gallic tribes then living in northern Europe. So you say England. Well, what was England? It was a bunch of tribes. And who were the Celts? The Celts in Britain had come from the continent probably in the period from 600 to about 400 BC, if I remember my history. And they had gradually driven back their predecessors from the southern and eastern parts of the British island, right? And these predecessors had themselves at some time driven back still earlier settlers for some thousands of years. And until after the Norman conquest in 1066, southeastern Britain was the ultimate goal of all successive waves of migratory peoples who moved out from the interior to the coast of northern Europe. So what am I getting at? We're being invaded right now. The difference between then and now is that the people knew they were being invaded, and it was called an invasion. Today, it's not called an invasion. It's called immigration. And we have both parties catering to this invasion. I don't care which way you skin the cat. It's an invasion. How else do you describe 12 to 30 million people who are here illegally? They were not invited here except by the politicians who've invited them here. And now they want them to trump the citizens who have been here. This is the irony of it. The politicians who allegedly represent the citizens of this nation, instead of catering to the citizens of this nation, they are catering to the immigrants who don't even belong here. They're here illegally. So I compare it again, going back to the Roman conquest of England. And you say, well, it changed things. Many of you don't even understand where the dark Irish came from. Again, it's all about immigration. I mean, I'm a realist when it comes right down to it. You have to understand this. You have to understand the people whom the Celts drove back were the mixed descendants of many earlier invaders, some of them of the dark-haired, blue-eyed type called Iberian, still to be seen today in Ireland. Where do you think the dark Irish come from? From the Iberian Peninsula. It's all about invasion and conquest. It's about invasion and counter-invasion. But now, while the people are saying we've had enough, the rowboat is full, we're bankrupt, we can't afford it, borders, language, culture, save our nation. Which, of course, look, I'm a cynic when it comes to politicians. Maybe on, you know, maybe 50-60% of the time you're going to get something out of any of them on the Republican side in terms of American conservative values with regard to borders, language, and culture, which define a nation as far as I'm concerned. On the Democrat side, zero. 0% of America. They do not represent anything American, in my estimation. Show me one Democrat who represents borders, language, and culture, and I'll vote for him. There is not one American Democrat. In that sense, they are all internationalists. I am not an internationalist. My grandfather fled Russia so that he could live in America and give his children and his children's children a better life. Here I am. Here I am. Man's child in the promised land, as was written. And I'm not so quick to say I'm ready to roll over for the next wave of invaders. And I don't think most of America is. I think it's a small class of not only politicians who represent a smaller class of extremely powerful business interests who need the cheap labor that are behind all of this. And let's not be children about it. I'm talking about invasion today. I started with Britain. I told you that you think Britain was Britain forever, but you don't realize that the Anglo-Saxon Britain that you think is Britain was preceded by something else. We were then talking about the Celts. We were talking about the Romans and the mark that the Romans left upon England in their conquest. Because remember, not all of it was bad. Because when the Roman Empire began to crumble and Roman soldiers were taken out of Britain to fight on the continent, the Celts quickly relapsed into something like their pre-Roman political condition. You see, before the conquest, the country had been divided up into small kingdoms, the Celtic kings, not much better really than tribal chiefs, whose principal occupation was warring against their neighbors. and that's what it reverted to. But the Romans left their mark upon southern England with the roads and whatnot. They left some positives, not all negative. And they transformed the southern part of Britain with constructed Roman towns, the solid straight roads, which the Romans built wherever they went. Some of them are still there, by the way, in southern England. And the Romans greatly encouraged agriculture. So they were very positive influences of this invasion of Britain by the Romans. And then came the Anglo-Saxons. And I'm not going to do a history lesson here. It's sort of, you know, this is talk radio. We're supposed to just talk about the news or whatever I want to talk about. But once in a while, I think it's very important to put the context, the news in context. Anyway, let's move on. Libs believe in choice when it comes to killing the unborn, but not in choice when it comes to soda size. Write that down. You heard it on the Savage Nation. Pew poll says Americans who identify as strong Catholics at a four-decade low. The percentage of American Catholics who identify as strong members of the church has declined to a 40-year low. That's according to a new analysis of the General Social Survey by the Pew Foundation. Well, the Pew Foundation is a left-wing, you know, forum. It means nothing. I'm sure those who identify as strong Catholics is down, but anything that comes out of the mouth of the Pews stinks, in plain English. Strength of religious affiliation, that's not bad. Anything comes out of the Pews stinks. Okay, let that go. Among Protestants, self-reported church attendance has been fairly stable. While the percentage of strong Catholics... Well, many people in America consider themselves lapsed Catholic. They say, I'm a lapsed Catholic. They say it with a smile. That's like Jews who go to Rosh Hashanah services once a year. They're called Bagel and Lox Jews. They identify with Jewishness culturally. They have no relationship to the religion whatsoever. They feel guilty. That's about it. And once a year, they go and throw a donation at the synagogue. That's the state of affairs for most Jews in America. Certainly, there's a growing Orthodox Jewish movement. But you never hear from them because they're all conservatives by and large. That part of the Jewish quilt is unheard of in the American media because they're all largely conservative, not all. They don't believe in portion control. Let's put it to you that way. The Orthodox Jews don't believe in portion control. I've seen them drink heavy vodka, believe me, on a Febringen. They don't believe in portion control at the Febringens. That's all I can tell you. The liberals believe in portion control. Skinless chicken. Everything is minimalist. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Hi, this is Dick Morris. Obamacare is taking full effect this year with over 15,000 pages of regulations. You need to know how this law affects you. That's why you should get your copy of Obamacare Survival Guide. It's easy to read and the best guide to the new law. Even if you're currently insured or a senior on Medicare or a business owner, a medical profession, or really any citizen, you need the Obamacare Survival Guide. In it, you'll find about hidden taxes, fees, and fines, including a 40% tax on some health plans. I warned you about Obamacare, its rationing, Medicare cuts, and will trigger doctor shortages. Now the Obamacare Survival Guide gives you the simple steps to protect your family. So get the Obamacare Survival Guide at bookstores everywhere. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Or get our special $4.95 offer and save $15 today by going to Obamacare911.com. Obamacare911.com. That's Obamacare911.com.
City Arms is the Bay Area's premier firearms retailer with two locations in Pacifica and their newest location in Pleasant Hill. Brian Sussman here, and for years, City Arms has been my Second Amendment dealer of choice. They offer the Bay Area a huge selection of firearms, ammunition, knives, and other related accessories. City Arms' knowledgeable staff takes pride in customer satisfaction. Not only will you find the best selection, you'll find very reasonable prices. Whether you're a sports shooter, hunter, avid competitive shooter, collector, or you're just interested in personal protection and home defense, in these challenging times, City Arms is here to help. And by the way, if they don't have it in stock, they'll do their best to find it. City Arms, with two Bay Area locations, 90 Eureka Square in Pacifica, and their newest location, 60 Golf Club Road in Pleasant Hill. See them on the web at city-arms.com. That's City Arms. Preserving America's future by upholding past tradition.
April 15th is right around the corner. And if it's been a few years since you filed your last tax return, or you still owe taxes you can't afford to pay, there may never be a better time than now to act. I'm tax attorney Robert Goldstein, and whether you are being audited by the IRS or owe taxes due to self-employment, under withholding, 401k withdrawals, or payroll or sales taxes, we can help. We can prepare your past due tax returns, even if you do not have all your records. You may be eligible to pay only pennies on the dollar for back taxes you owe, or you may qualify to get rid of your taxes and other debts through bankruptcy, as my firm is a debt relief agency. Remember, your privacy is only safe with an attorney. Don't let another April 15th pass you by and risk the IRS or state seizing your bank account or wages. The IRS and state are acting as aggressive as ever. Be sure that you exercise all of your legal rights. To schedule your free consultation with me, call toll-free 1-888-TAX-EXIT. That's 888-TAX-EXIT. 888-TAX-EXIT. And make it your last stop.
Brian Sussman here, and I have good news. KSFO listeners have been responding in great numbers to Plumbing Tech and Repipe. That's a Bay Area-wide full-service plumbing company that will replace your old galvanized pipes with brand-new copper pipes all in one day. You heard me right, friends. One day. Changing out your old pipes will dramatically increase your water pressure, so you don't have to worry about getting scalded in the shower from someone turning on the washing machine, the dishwasher, flushing a toilet. All the work is 100% guaranteed. They handle commercial as well as residential jobs, and their rates are extremely competitive. Now here's the really good news. Call Plumbing Tech and Repipe right now, and they'll throw in a brand new residential standard water heater that's a $1,200 value with every repipe job they complete. For a free estimate, call Plumbing Tech and Repipe, 866-201-8682. That's 866-201-8682. On the web, plumbingtechandrepipe.com. Coming up on the next morning show, we'll talk to a representative from the World Wildlife Fund about the Earth Hour. 5 to 9 a.m. on KSFO.
I don't know what I want to talk about with regard to the news. I have 200 stories. I have to wake you up. I did try to warn you. I put the evidence out there for everyone to see in the first edition of Trickle Down Tyranny. I explained that Barack Obama is the most corrupt American president since the days of Tammany Hall. But you weren't paying attention. You reelected one of the most unprincipled men who's ever held the office of president of the United States. And I'll tell you why I refer to Tammany Hall when I describe this administration. I am reading to you a new introduction to the paperback version of Trickle Down Tyranny, which just came out, or it's coming out daily. I don't know when. But I wrote this for the new edition. Those of you who didn't have the money to buy the hardcover, I suggest you go to a bookstore. I'm not Abby Hoffman. I'm not saying steal this book, but why don't you read the introduction where I say I try to warn you? And I'll tell you why I refer to Tammany Hall when I describe this administration. Tammany Hall was the building that housed the New York City-based Democratic Party political organization that controlled politics and doled out patronage to its cronies for more than a century. It wasn't until a Republican, Fiorello LaGuardia, was elected New York City mayor in 1932 that Tammany Hall's graft and corruption was effectively ended. Did you know that LaGuardia was a Republican? I'll bet you didn't. But he was one of the most honest and beloved mayors in New York history, unlike the creature from the Black Lagoon that's in the Gracie Mansion now. That was a real mayor, but he was a Republican, LaGuardia, as opposed to a Quisling. As one writer explains, the name Tammany Hall was synonymous with rigging elections, awarding municipal contracts, and handing out patronage jobs. Today in the Obama administration, we are witnessing Tammany Hall-style graft and corruption on a scale that couldn't have been imagined back then. The arrogance of the newly reelected president is apparent with every pronouncement he makes. We saw it as Obama couldn't be bothered to stay around
to complete the fiscal cliff negotiations, but rather delegated the responsibility to underlings while he took a $7 million family vacation. He didn't bother to return to Washington to sign the bill that was finally negotiated, but instead used a robot pen from Hawaii. A recently published list of the 10 most wanted corrupt politicians for 2012 includes most of the key people in the Obama administration. By the way, I give references to every statement I make. Here's the short list of the most wanted corrupt politicians for 2012 in my new paperback edition of Trickle Down Tyranny. One, Obama's Energy Secretary Stephen Chu approved more than $16 billion in government-backed loans to companies that Obama's political bundlers, large donors, or National Finance Committee members either owned or were directly involved in. In another age, they'd be in prison. Both Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice insisted that the Benghazi murders of the American ambassador to Libya and three other Americans were a spontaneous response to a web video criticizing Islam. Rice went on all the major talk shows to repeat the big lie, then along with the president himself, taped a video message perpetuating the lie. To this day, not a single official involved in the Benghazi killings has been fired for their criminally negligent disregard for the safety of our envoys in the most dangerous regions of the world. Speaking about the State Department, former American security official Eric Nordstrom said, "For me, the Taliban is on the inside of the building." Barack Obama tops the 10 most corrupt list. He's been at the center of more fraudulent activity than any president in our history. In what was described as a breathtaking violation of the separation of powers, and, quote, more than an unconstitutional attempt to circumvent the Senate's advising consent role, Obama made a recessed appointment of three leftist cronies to seats in the National Labor Relations Board, guaranteeing pro-union, anti-right-to-work decisions would be handed down, reference number four. A few months before the 2012 presidential election, Obama issued an executive order suspending the policy of deporting illegal immigrants, a clear violation of the U.S. Constitution, reference five. Upwards of 2 million illegal immigrants applied for relief from deportation following the executive order, reference 6. An estimated 180,000 illegal aliens are registered to vote in Florida, reference 7. And estimates range as high as 1.6 million illegal aliens having voted in the 2012 presidential election across the United States, reference 8. Obama also asserted executive privilege and ordered that Attorney General Eric Holder would not be prosecuted for withholding key documents requested by Congress during investigation of the Fast and Furious gun running scandal, reference 9. The executive privilege claim was made in response to Holder's having been served with a criminal contempt of Congress citation, the only one ever received by an attorney general in U.S. history, reference 10. I am reading to you the 10 most corrupt officials in the 10 most corrupt officials in American history or modern American history. And it is from the introduction to the paperback edition of Trickle Down Tyranny. If you disagree with the statements, read the references and tell me that they're wrong as well. Why don't you rewrite history? Rewrite history. Now, I want to go back. I'm not going to read any more from it right now. I'm not in the mood. I gave you a taste of it. You can go buy the book or not. That's all. It's not going to change my lifestyle. I try my best to awaken the country. If you don't want to be awakened, I can't help you. Stay asleep. You know, do what you want. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm a talk show host. And if I get so drilled into that, what happens is I start to sound crazy like so many people on the left and right. And you don't want to listen to it. See, many of you know it's true, but you don't want to hear it anymore. You say, well, he's elected. What can I do about it? I'll change the channel and I'll listen to polka music. That's all. I know how this works. Nobody has a better sense of radio than me. Nobody in the history of radio. There may be bigger audiences, but nobody has a better stethoscope to the heart of America than I do. Nobody. Speaking of which, today I went to an Indian buffet again. Okay, I call it Indian 4, a new one. I can't stay away. I said no salt. You know, I said I wasn't going to do salt, but I go anyway. It was a hot day. I just didn't want to. I'd been to the dentist, you see, and had a cleaning. So I said, look, I can only, you know, how much can you take in one day? Just go to the buffet and eat what you want already. But, you know, Bloomberg came to haunt me in my mind during the buffet because I realized that Bloomberg says is that he's not eliminating soda. He's just using portion control. So I thought that what Bloomberg ought to do next in New York City is limit buffets to one plate per person because that's portion control.
Savage.
You know, it's that time again. Once a year, every year for the last decade, I sit down with author and Swiss America chairman Craig Smith, my friend, to discuss the true state of the U.S. economy and what to expect ahead. Craig and I have been right on the money every year like clockwork. This year, Craig turned up the burner and has boiled down the most critical news and financial trends into the simple truth. Swiss America is offering this confidential interview we recorded. It's free. Free to my listeners on compact disc or downloadable MP3 by simply calling 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN for free. Today, our great nation hangs in the balance. We're on the verge of becoming a perpetual welfare state. Call now for your free copy of the Savage Simple Truth CD and Craig's 31st anniversary newsletter, both free. No one hearing my voice now will be able to say we did not warn you. So call 800-289-2646. 800-BUYCOIN right now for the Savage Simple Truth. Call 800-289-2646. Be prepared.
One little joint supplement. You know, this powerful little pill is great for your joints. It's great for your cartilage. It even has powerful benefits to help increase your mobility and flexibility. But the joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't start relieving joint discomfort immediately. Until now. Introducing the complimentary 2-week sample of fast-acting Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It can start relieving joint discomfort in just a few days. The only thing our complimentary sample of Instaflex is missing is the price.
Good evening, I'm Dave Fanuk, Shot Talk 560 KSFO. Two doctors will examine a Wyoming man to see if he's mentally fit for trial on charges of stealing a yacht from Sausalito. His alleged accomplices will not be tried because prosecutors say they didn't know the yacht was stolen. Taking a look at the roadways, northbound 85 connector to northbound 17. Looks like a possible tire in the slow lane there. Northbound 17, Cat's Restaurant. We've got a crash still blocking the left lane. I'm Dave Fowkes, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
This is an important message for all hardworking Americans. Not long ago, Michael Parnas was living on a park bench in New York City. Fast forward to 2008, he took a few thousand dollars and in less than 8 months, eight of the worst trading months in stock market history, Michael made close to $4 million. He cracked the stock market's code and discovered the insider trends that your broker doesn't want you to know. So he is giving you his Power Trading, Power Living book and DVD to help take the mystery out of the market, break down the trades and trends you need to know, and show you how he went from a park bench to Park Avenue for free. Just pay shipping. Michael has never stopped believing that regular, hardworking people can make money in the stock market. A lot of money. In fact, Michael is convinced power trading can work for you, too. That's why he's giving you his book and DVD for free. Call Michael now at 800-309-1118 and claim your free copy. Call 800-309-1118. That's 800-309-1118. Trading carries a high level of risk and may not be suitable for everyone.
Shopping for the right replacement window can be confusing. On the phone today, we have Matt Miller from Renewal by Anderson Replacement Windows. Matt, how does a homeowner choose the best window material?
Choosing the right window material is really critical. Vinyl is just another word for plastic. Now, Katie, you wouldn't put a plastic deck chair in your living room, so why choose a poor quality vinyl window? Our windows are custom built from our patented material called Fibrex, which is actually twice as strong as vinyl, which means you'll only have to do this job once.
Now, unlike some companies, you not only warrant the window, but you warrant the installation too?
Our master installers average 40 hours of training each and every year. That's why we're able to warrant the installation, because we know they're doing the job right the first time, and they specialize. They don't do kitchens or roofs or bathroom remodels. They replace only windows and patio doors. That's their specialty. And most installations are completed in just one day.
Now, what about the special that Renewal by Anderson has going on?
Great spring special. Right now, when you buy just five windows, your sixth window is actually free. And you can pair that with no money down, no payments, and no interest financing for a full year. That means you get your windows now, and you don't pay for them until 2014.
Great. Thanks, Matt. For a very limited time with Renewal by Anderson, buy just five windows, and your sixth window is free, with no money down, no payments, and no interest for a year. For more information, call 1-800-417-1010. 1-800-417-1010. That's 1-800-417-1010 or visit goodwindowpayment.com.
Ah, springtime, mower riding time. No, four flat tires.
Yeah, and my bike is a flat tire.
And my dirt bike, too.
Honey, the wheelbarrow and the trailers have flat tires.
Springtime, schming time. Ah.
Dear, wake up.
I had the worst nightmare. All of our tires were flat.
It's okay. We use Slime tire sealant.
Oh, Slime makes it easy to prevent flat tires.
Time to roll.
Now, let's roll.
Get ready for spring with Slime tire sealant. Prevent flat tires for up to 2 years in all of your off-road and trailer tires, bicycles, dirt bikes, ATVs. Get your green slime at Pep Boys.
Coming up on the next morning show, we'll talk to a representative from the World Wildlife Fund about the Earth Hour. 5 to 9 a.m. on KSFO.
What Bloomberg want to do is you want to go down to Katz's Delicatessen and tell them to cut their sandwiches in half because there's too much corned beef, too much saturated fat, too much salt. That's his little business, isn't it? That's his business. Yip, 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 too much portion control. But do you realize how dangerous this man is? You think it's nothing, but everything starts in a little way. He's saying he has the right to control how much soda you drink. No, he doesn't have the right. He does not have the right. Because by dint of that, if you give that little dictator that power over soda size, tomorrow what will it be, as I said to you 1,000 times? Will it be buffet size? The amount of food on a buffet? The size of a sandwich in a Jewish delicatessen? The amount of cheese in a pizza? I mean, where does it stop with these lunatics? Their job in the health department is to stop the spread of, let's say, sexually transmitted diseases by controlling sex clubs. They don't do that, though, do they? To stop the epidemic of drug use. They don't do that, though. They encourage your child to smoke marijuana, the most dangerous drug in history, precisely because it's an entry-level drug, and it turns people into morons, idiots, manipulated, like the Chinese war on the opium. So the demagogues can get away with anything. That's what a health department's supposed to do. It's to stop epidemics, not control the amount of food you eat. You see what I'm saying to you? And look where it's coming from. Look where food fascism is coming from. Never from the conservatives, never from the right, always from the left. The very same left that wants to ban vitamins in America. And so many people in the vitamin industry are so naive. I worked in the vitamin industry for years before I went into radio, which is longer than 20 years ago. And I will tell you, almost every one of them is a left-winger. Every one of them, heavy into marijuana, big marijuana user, all left-wing fanatics, smile at each other at these conventions. They don't understand that the leftist politicians that they put back in power are the ones who want to put them out of business. And, you know, it's a microcosm of America itself. They don't even understand what they're doing. They're that stupid. Okay, 1-855-407-282. Any topic is fair game. Brentwood, California. Sam, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, doctor. Hey, real quick comment, man. First of all, that last thing you just said, you know, Monsanto, okay, Monsanto, they, you know, their money, we can't even get food labeling in the state of California. That's not what I called about, but I had to say that in terms of what, you know, in with respect we just said a second ago.
So what did you call about?
Well, what I really called about was that there's so much... I'm a successful kind of guy, right? I'm in business, all right? And there's so much coming from the, you know, both parties, but especially from Republicans, specifically on tax loopholes, specifically on the defense budget. We're at 800, you know.
Wait. Why don't you start with General Electric paying no taxes on billions in income? What about that?
Yeah, that too. That too.
General, I told you there was an article even in your Huffington Post, a left-wing website. General Electric avoids taxes by keeping $108 billion overseas. Doesn't that bother you, along with Apple, Microsoft, and Google, doubling their overseas holdings to avoid paying taxes? Don't you think Obama should crack down on them? But you know why he doesn't? Because they're big supporters of him, Sam.
Now, you know, bottom line is that...
Wait. Do you agree with that or not? Or you're only against the Defense Department?
I'm against the Defense Department. I'm against tax loopholes, huge.
Well, wait, Sam, if you're against tax loopholes, why don't you think Jeffrey Immelt should be forced to pay taxes on $5 billion in income in the United States? George on W, I'm not ready for a caller. I feel good. Something's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel good. That's like an old Buddy Hackett joke. I can't help it. It's true. Whenever I feel good, I think there's something wrong with me because I'm a down guy. It doesn't sound it. But I've been down since I've been a kid. I've always been too serious for my time and always like, you know, always like the world. And they used to say to me, like the people would take me on the side when I was 8. I remember them talking. He seems to have the world on his shoulders. I didn't even know what it meant. I try to imagine like the guy on the phone book with the long tail, a globe on my shoulder. I didn't know what it meant. So kids misinterpret what that means. It's because we had tragedy in the family when I was young. It was like a Sajat Ray movie. That's what it was. Like growing up in the Bronx, the tragedy of my family, the weight, the pain, the crying, the sadness. It was like a Sajat Ray movie. I loved it.
Now I live in like a perfect world where everybody's pleasant. I never have an interchange that's bad. It's horrible. There's no life. This sanitized, homogenized, pasteurized world that I live in. So there it is. If there's reincarnation, God, I don't want to go back to the Bronx. Thank you very much. I'll take the homogenized world I'm in. George on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, George?
Yes, good evening, Dr. Savage. I wanted to correct you. You said the other night that you felt like Beethoven. You're not Beethoven, sir. You are Mozart. Every broadcast is a masterpiece.
Well, there are people. First of all, thanks. What am I going to say? Thank you. I actually didn't say I'm Beethoven. I said I cry when I listen to Beethoven. I said I feel like a dog who looks at me when I'm driving when I listen to Beethoven. That's what I was saying, is because I cannot be Beethoven. See, I said I know my limits. Unlike too many people in our world today, forget about radio in all spheres, we're all egomaniacs. Anyone who does anything thinks we're great, we're this, we're that. See, I know my limitations, and that's what keeps me humble. But the fact is, when I listen to Beethoven, I weep that I can't be Beethoven. That's what I was saying. But now you're saying I'm Mozart. There are people in radio who are like the Salieri to me. They're not even as good as Salieri. You know who that is, right?
Of course.
You see, they're the Salieri to my Mozart, and yet they think they're better than Mozart. No, look, I like my work. I do my best. Every night I do try to create a masterpiece, to be honest with you. I try to make a Persian miniature every night as I sit here doing my verbal painting. That's nice of you, George. Thank you for that call. Speaking of music and musicians, it fits right into a story I was looking at. Listen to this story. The San Francisco Symphony is on strike. They want more money. You ready for this? You're going to fall down when I tell you what they make. Musicians of the San Francisco Symphony went on strike over finances. In a press conference on the steps of Davies Symphony Hall, violinist Viola's David Gaudry, the chairman of the Players Negotiating Committee, ready? The commie unions, said that the musicians want to maintain financial parity with members of comparable orchestras, particularly those in L.A. and Chicago. What rubbish! That's like university professors used to say, well, we need to have more pay in order to avoid having us going into the private sector. I used to say, go in the private sector, see who's waiting for you. See what Schmeckler, who's waiting for you? The private sector is waiting for someone in poli-science. They need a professor of poli-science in the private sector. That's what they're waiting for. Listen to what they make. Listen to this schmuck. He says, we're behind our peers and other major orchestras, he said. He wants more money. He said, at the Los Angeles Philharmonic, which is our closest sister orchestra, I like that, the wages are 5% higher. And virtually every other city that houses an orchestra has a lower cost of living than San Francisco. Then quit. Go to work somewhere else if you don't like it. They're going broke. The executive director said that they've incurred an operating deficit during each of the last 4 years, and they have to look at every penny. So the union goes on strike. Here it comes. The players, who were represented by Musicians Union Local 6 of the American Federation of Musicians, blah, blah, blah. So the... Are you ready for what they make? Hold on to your hat. Under the terms of the previous contract, musicians are guaranteed a base annual salary of $141,700, according to the orchestra management, although the pay for many key musicians can go much higher. They won't tell you how much they actually make. Management said the median salary for musicians was just over $160,000, okay? At least they make less than cops in the city. A street cop makes more than that. The overtime is more than that for a cop. They have 10 annual weeks of paid vacation as well as paid sick leave. That's good. 10 annual weeks of paid vacation. That's good. Now, here's the punchline. Gaudry acknowledged that these terms might seem generous to many middle-class suburbs, but added that orchestra musicians are required to purchase top-quality instruments to do their work. A viola commensurate with this position, he said, could cost as much as $1 million. See, now there's a bit of a lie in that as well. Why? Because that's an investment in the viola. If the man spends, let's say, $500,000 on a viola, he could probably sell it for more when he leaves the business, right? Right, Doug? And it doesn't go down. It goes up. What is a Stradivarius today? It didn't go down since Stradivarius made the violin, did it? But the player's main argument, he said, has to do with the orchestra's ability to retain and recruit top players. If it's pay scale, blah, blah, blah. If that's such rubbish, where are they going to get a job? Where are they going to go? Who's going to hire them? The most pertinent example in this regard is principal timpanist David Herbert, who was leaving the orchestra after 19 years to join the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Okay, fine. The timpanist is among the most important members of any orchestra. They are. I never knew what they do. That's the guy who stands there and waits to hit it once during an entire symphony. As a child, I would sit in an orchestra. I admit it sounds, lowbrow.
And I'd say, that guy's not working too hard. He sits there like every 20 minutes he hits the, and that's it, boom, that's his job. Or he bangs a drum once. He's the most important one in the orchestra? I don't understand this. I tried for 7 months to work out a deal with management. He said, my intention was to say, but then I went blah, 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 blah. The current strike is the symphony's first since the bitter nine-week stoppage in 96-97 caused the cancellation of 43 concerts and cost the orchestra millions. My answer is cut their salary, let them go elsewhere and look for a job. Complaining about a minimum $147,000 a year salary, wow, that's going to really garner an awful lot of sympathy here in San Francisco. You talk about the 1%. Unbelievable to me how stupid these musicians are. 1-855-407-282. Do not call me on the symphony strike. Most of you don't go to the symphony. New York City, WABC. Lou, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, you asked a question the other night. You were talking about your books. Well, I'm ex-military. I spent 13 years in the Navy, and my son was in the Navy, and he was put out because he was caught with your book.
That's right. That's the free press. That's the free Navy today. That's the free Navy today. I heard the story, by the way. I was on a ship here in San Francisco during Fleet Week. One of the officers told me the same story, that somebody was reading my book and was fired because he had my book in his cabin. I don't believe that's true.
It is. I can vouch for it.
Lou, are you telling me the Navy has a prohibited list of books? Not just my own books, not those of Michael Savage. Other books are banned as well. Which books would be banned?
The Navy officially, no, has no stand on what you read, as long as it's not, you know, how to kill somebody, you know, with a knife or some stupid thing like that, because you're, you know.
So what other books are banned by the new sensitive Obama Navy that would get someone thrown out? What else can't they read?
Any of your pro-liberal, self-reliant, how-to-do books, how to survive in a bad economy.
Why would they be threatened by any book? I thought the Navy is supposed to be fighting for our freedoms.
Yep.
I thought the U.S. military fights for our freedoms, and yet they deny the freedoms to the sailors who want to read Trickle-Down Tyranny? Or they want to read my novel, I'm allowed to send it to you, A Time for War, or you'll get fired from your own job?
Oh, no, I won't get fired from this job. I'm just a lonely old truck driver now.
Well, you're going to get two copies, one for you and one for your son. I'm very sorry to hear it. But I'm not surprised with the new liberal fascism, and I'm using those words quite specifically. Shame on them.
And I agree with you. Now,
All right. Thanks, Lou. Stay on the line. We'll get you a copy. What else can't you read on a ship? Yeah, I'll be right back.
George.
I got good callers. Oh, here's one. Here's a guy who's mad. Then I'm going to take the spank call in a minute. I'm going to go to San Francisco now. KSFO. Brent, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was calling. I'm a teacher in San Francisco. You know, I work every day. I have some extra duty in the afternoon with kids who are in trouble for 2 hours.
Right, right.
All that, with all of a year, I make about half of what the symphony player...
I don't understand what they're thinking. First of all, it's a business. The symphony is a business, and they're losing money. So why should they be paid more? Where is the money supposed to come from? If you raise the cost of going to the symphony, which is already outrageously expensive, you're going to drive customers away. They don't understand the basics of economics, do they?
I would imagine not, yeah. And
I would say teachers are the most underpaid individuals in our society, and perhaps the most important. I'm a former teacher. I'm not saying it just for ratings. It's the toughest job in the world if you're an educated person, as most are. It is the toughest job in the world if you're dedicated to the children. I remember when I was a young teacher in New York City, way back when, one of the older teachers took me aside and pulled me into the room that the teachers had, and he said, young Michael, he said, let me tell you something. In this business, either you're dedicated or demented, and most of the people in this school are demented. The older ones were all demented. They didn't do the job. They just went up there and stood by the blackboard. The kids paid no attention to them. The young teachers work the hardest and get the least amount of money. Isn't that true to this day, Brent?
Indeed it is.
Indeed it is. It's a tough job. Let me send you a copy of my new novel. I suggest you bring it to school in a plain brown wrapper for fear that the American Federation of Teamsters or Teachers...
Pope Francis. That's interesting. He's named for St. Francis. That's very interesting. That's my hometown, though. So St. Francis was known for having compassion for the poor. That's interesting, isn't it? There's an element to what a name. What is in a name? Do you know what the name Michael derives from? Do you know where it derives from? Does anyone know where the name Michael derives from? When I learned this, it was a revelation to me. It was a satori for me. I mean, his name Michael, I didn't know why. They didn't know why. It was just a name because my grandfather's name was Morris, who I never met. He died before I was born. So usually in my tradition, you're named for someone who's passed away. In the Catholic tradition, you're named for someone who's living, which can get confusing if you go to an Italian buffet. Everyone's either Frank or Johnny. But anyway, everyone had a different name because they were all the ones that were dead already and weren't there. Had to, you know what I'm saying? In the deli with you. They're already under. The interesting thing is the name Michael means Mikhail. He overthrows icons. Did you know that? Yeah, look it up in the Greek. The Greek derivation of the name Michael. Mikhail. He who does not bow down to icons, or he who overthrows icons. I didn't know that. That would be a bad scene today to go into a church and knock down icons. I got to tell you that. Yeah, it's the Savage Nation. We're talking about the paperback edition of Trickle Down Tyranny, and it's coming out or just came out. I don't even know. But I wrote a whole new introduction where I say I try to warn you, and you didn't listen. And I compared Obama's administration to the corrupt politicians of the days of Tammany Hall in New York City. And what you may not have known, especially if you're listening for the first time, is that it wasn't until a Republican, Fiorella LaGuardia, was elected a New York City mayor in 1932 that Tammany Hall's graft and corruption was effectively ended. When I was a boy, my mother, you know, a lifetime Democrat, because they were immigrants. To them, Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. That's all they told me. And they loved LaGuardia. I didn't know LaGuardia was not a Democrat. I didn't know he was a Republican. Maybe they didn't even know he was. They loved him to death. And I asked my mother, why did you love LaGuardia? She said, because he is one of us. I said, what do you mean, one of us? She said, he's for the common person, is what she said. He's for the average person. In those days, it was true. The politicians today cannot be for the average person. Very few of them know what the average person is like. It's very hard for them to know. I can name on one hand which national politicians actually come from the people. And you know who comes to mind immediately? Congressman Allen West. Third-generation American military, hated by the Democrats. A man whose race was discarded by the Democrats because he was not a useful idiot. I'm running short of time here. The time is flying. It's almost summertime. I know you don't want to hear it because it's different on the East. I know it's a national show, blah, blah, blah. For me, it's a great time of year because I had the winter of my discontent. It was a black winter for me. And now we have coming up, what do we have? We have the vacations are already starting with the children. They're already out of school everywhere I turn. The Ritalin brats are everywhere. Everywhere I turn, they don't go to school in California. Every other day, I bicycle. The playground, I don't know where they come from. The mothers don't understand they're being cheated by the California Federation of Teachers. Every other day is another vacation. And they grow up, they want to run the company. I hate the thing that they use to scale your teeth, the sound, whatever they use. It drives me crazy because I have a very sensitive sense of hearing. That's why I'm great in radio. I don't use headphones. I've been in radio 18 years. No day I went in, no headphones. I have a very special, expensive system where I hear you through a speaker. So it's a more natural relationship. I can't stand that high-pitched whine of the thing. I'm sure it's bad for the brain. I'm not saying it causes you. You know, Bloomberg ought to ban DatNet, I think, about that. He should ban dentistry. He should limit dentistry to doing half your mouth each year. Because it should be dental control. Now that I think about that, it should be dentist control. Well, think about it. I mean, if you go to a dentist repeatedly and he has to inject you, that's drugs or anesthesia. But then he must be friendly with the pharmaceutical companies. I don't think that impacts him in the same way as this does.
Savage.